Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, June 28th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, firefighters spent Thursday night battling a fire at a Montgomery County strip mall that was much more intense than it seemed at first. It began at 8:15. Investigators believe it started in a hair salon in the strip mall located in the 1900 block of Cheltenham Avenue in Cheltenham Township. The fire was quickly upgraded to a 3-alarm fire. Heavy smoke could be seen coming from the roof. Firefighters were on the ground and on the roof of the building as they fought the fire. At one point, they did enter the building, but had to come back out. Most of the damage occurred in the hair salon and a smoke shop next door. There were no injuries reported. The fire was placed under control at about 10:55 p.m. Crews, however, continued to work on the hot spots. Police and firefighters also monitored the scene overnight, and they said fire officials are still investigating the exact cause, but they do believe it started inside that hair salon.
It's got to be a joy during a heat wave.
Right? Yeah. I know. Even worse for them. Pennsylvania health officials have ordered a Philadelphia hospital to halt plans to take its first steps towards closing ahead of the busy 4th of July holiday. The health department told the owners of Hahnemann University Hospital on Thursday that they must first file a detailed plan that ensures the safety of people who depend on the institution for care. The 496-bed hospital announced Wednesday that it would close in September due to unsustainable financial losses. The hospital had said it planned to start diverting trauma cases from its emergency room on Monday. They were saying that, they may even see some of it happening this weekend, but the state says it's been told even more ER patients could possibly be diverted. It ordered the hospital to cease and desist from any steps towards shutting down until a plan is approved. The Philadelphia Academic Health System said in response to the health department's letter that they intend to conduct the closure in an orderly manner that prioritizes the health care needs of our patients. Health officials say they worried about what impact a partial closure could even have on residents and tourists during the holiday. A rally is planned this morning in Rittenhouse Square as employees fight to keep Hahnemann open. On Thursday, hospital employees rallied at City Hall to save the hospital from closing. Will the rallies do anything? I guess we'll find out.
Kathy, is the key in the marketing? Would they benefit by changing it to Hahnemann
Hospital?
Right.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Fisher-Price announced a recall on Thursday of approximately 71,000 inclined sleeper accessories out of concern infants could roll over onto their stomachs, putting them at risk for injury or death. The recall product is a sleeper accessory that was included with Fisher-Price's ultra-light day and night play yards. The accessory attaches to the top of the playpen, allowing infants to sleep on an incline. There haven't been any deaths or injuries reported, fortunately, with the sleeper accessory. However, Fisher-Price made the decision to recall out of an abundance of caution.
So you all have kids. When you like on the first go round, when you're getting things like this, do you like vet and read all the reviews and go nuts?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I find hilarious is watching movies that are a few decades old and you see the contraptions that they have babies in and you go, oh my God, I would be arrested if
like
I tried to
crap.
Use something like that today.
Is the baby securely attached to the hood?
My wife, her dad, who does some woodworking, had made years and years and years ago, it was before I even met my wife, this kind of, it's like a rocker type thing with an attachment to it where the baby is supposed to go. And we held on to this thing forever, and I'm like, look at that, honey. I'm like, it's a death trap. We have got to get rid of this. We're never going to use this. We need to get rid of this thing. But, I mean, it was a sweet thing for him to do. He made it, but
I mean,
the child would have died if we'd put it in that thing.
My crib, I remember years, there were pictures of my crib because I used to, like, rip it off the wall. My dad actually had to bolt it to the wall. I was this crazy kid when I was in the crib. But it might as well have been named Baby's First Strangulation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I hear about these recalls, my initial reaction usually is like, fear and making sure that our kids don't have them. But then I'm really reassured by the fact that these recalls exist. Like, getting the product out, and people are becoming aware that these things can be dangerous.
I mean, the state of the art and the stuff, the things that your parents never had and these strollers that glide along with one finger and all this stuff, it's just crazy, huh? Yeah.
But, and some of the recalls, though, I look at and I'm like, this one. Okay, maybe, but even so, I'm not going to leave the kid there. I'd be sitting right next to him.
So right.
They rolled over and turn him back over. You know, like, I don't know. The recall comes more than 30, comes after more than 30 infant deaths were reported on other Incline sleep products, including the Fisher-Price Rock and Play Sleeper, which the company recalled in April. The Play Yard, the changing station clutch, and the carry bag included with the product are still safe to use, according to Fisher-Price. However, parents and caregivers are advised to stop using the sleep accessory. Mattel, the parent company of Fisher Price, is offering a refund for the sleep accessory. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
For the second day in a row, the Phillies won a walk-off.
Nice.
Gene Segura ripped a three-run walk-off home run against Edwin Diaz moments after Mike Alfranco hit a game-tying two-run shot against the closer in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Phillies beat the Mets 6-3 to complete a four-game sweep. New York's Todd Frazier hit a go-ahead two-run homer off of Hector Neris with one out in the ninth, but the Phillies rallied in the bottom of the inning for their fourth straight win since utility man Brad Miller brought a bamboo plant into the clubhouse as a good luck charm. The Phillies are on the road tonight with a weekend series in Miami against the Marlins. Vince Velasquez gets the start, and game time is at 7:10. The Women's World Cup continues this afternoon with a quarterfinal showdown between the U.S. and the host, Team France, which will air at 3 o'clock here on Fox. Megan Rapinoe scored both U.S. goals for the penalty shot in Monday's 2-1 round of 16 victory against Spain. If the Americans are going to beat the French, they'll need a strong match from her again. And the Union are on the road this weekend with a match in Yankee Stadium in the Bronx against New York FC. The Union have had a successful season so far with 9 wins and 32 points, good enough for first place in the Eastern Conference. New York City's FC is in 6th place with 23 points. Tomorrow night's match is set to start at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. I was giggling during that segment you were talking about the Phils, because I have seen on the news a few times they keep mentioning the bamboo plant.
Yes.
And I can't help but think about the one guy that called in the other morning and said that it's not actually a bamboo plant.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And how must he must freak out every time he hears it.
It's not a bamboo plant! What did he say it was?
It reminds
me kind of
it's a lily of sorts. Yeah. It's like in the Goonies when they tell him he's wearing a toupee.
I don't wear a hairpiece.
See this guy freaking out every time because they just keep mentioning bamboo without the fact.
Whatever.
Don't let things get under your skin, folks. Let's just have a wonderful Friday. We are set for that very thing. Giving away our Word of the Week prize this morning at the end of the program. And some ringside seats for www. I think I threw in an extra W.
Yeah, www is for winning.
Yeah. www.eExtremeRulesSunday. No, it's coming up July 14th, so we give that away today. We have a couple of great guests on the program. In our studio, Mr. Brad Williams will be here, Healing Comedy Club. I messed up, man. My youngest son, Carter, loves Brad Williams.
Really?
And I didn't tell him he was coming in the studio today. I didn't think about it until this morning.
Okay,
on the way in.
Well.
He can drive now.
He has a driver's license.
He does.
Yes. Come to get his ass over here.
He hasn't done any highway driving yet, much less rush hour highway driving.
He can get here all back roads, man.
He could do, I don't know. Who knows? Well, maybe I'll send him a text if he wants to come in, because Brad is hilarious, and he's going to be at Healing Comedy Club tonight through the weekend. We're also going to talk to Mr. Jim Norton, who's got a gig coming up at the Borgata on the 5th of July. So
yeah.
Jim's going to be giving us a call, so we'll talk to him a little bit later on. That and more. We're getting ready for the belly flop. Don't forget that the deadline to sign up for that is July 3rd, and we want you to be on board for it, especially ladies. We need female contestants. We're doing Battle of the Sexes. We'll have a prize for both genders. And then we'll have the genders flop off against each other. And that's just for an honorary title. But nonetheless, $500 cash and tickets to the Rolling Stone show coming to the Link. How about that?
We heard yesterday that single tickets down in the pit are going for $1,500 each.
Yeah. I don't think we have pit tickets.
No, we don't.
But
no,
we have
just
tickets.
To put it in perspective.
Yeah.
I actually was talking to a woman yesterday who was like, I don't know if I can make, because her husband wanted to join and they had something, blah, blah. He really wants those Rolling Stones tickets. And I said to her, I go, well, then
you do it.
You do it.
You do it.
You do it. And you have a better shot at winning those Rolling Stones.
That's right.
Tickets.
Did she consider it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No doubt.
Right. WMMR.com, click on events, or you can just look for the banner. It's right there. It says Belly Flop Championship. Get signed up. Please do that. And anybody and everybody can join us for the event on the 11th. Valley Forge Casino Resort. They have a wonderful, wonderful pool there, and it's open. It's free. It starts 5 o'clock, and you just got to be 21 and over. There's going to be drink specials, all kinds of stuff going on. So
I love that area.
We're looking forward to that whole thing. So this is what we have. Case, should I start off with
it?
With anybody want a drink? Because I got a Case Yard Summer Crush that I can set you up with. Yeah, we'll take caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR. Yard Summer Crush is an easy drinking flavor of wheat beer with a juicy citrus finish. It's perfect to bring in, bring to every summer celebration. You can pick up a case at Summer Crush of Summer Crush at Total Wine and More in Cherry Hill. So get on board now. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. I'll prep a question for you. We'll do some more giveaways and some entertainment story reports that we'd begin on this Friday morning in all its glory. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do the stupid question giveaway, a $50 Rita's gift card. Nick gave me this question. It's a good one. The 4-H Club, what do the 4-H's stand for? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. In the 4-H Club, what do the 4-H's stand for? Call right now. I'll go through some birthdays today, Friday, June 28th. There's just five of them that I have on my list.
The hell?
Kathy Bates, the actress.
Great actress.
71 years old. Agreed. Misery, one of her most iconic roles of all time.
You know what she's really good in as well? Dolores Claiborne.
I love that movie.
That is an underrated movie.
I never saw that one.
It's really good. Okay.
It's down. It's a downer movie, but it is a...
it's another Stephen King story.
It is, and it's a really compelling story. She's fantastic in it, but it's a woman that has been put upon and put in a really tough situation, and it's really well done.
She's also hilarious and spot on in The Late Shift, I think it is. Letterman and Leno.
She's
the
agent, right?
She is the agent. She's since died, by the way, based on Leno's real agent. But, yeah, she's unbelievable.
All right, she's celebrating her 71st birthday today. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mel Brooks.
Whoa!
Celebrating his birthday today.
The Inquisition. Yeah. Let's begin. The Inquisition.
Look out, Sam.
We have a mission to convert the Jews. We're going to teach them
wrong from right.
We're going to help them
see the light
and make an offer that they can't refuse.
That the Jews just can't refuse.
Hey, Mel is amazing. He and Carl Reiner still get together. This is the word. They get together, I don't know if it's daily, but weekly for sure, in Venice, California.
Yeah,
and they go to this place and they eat ice cream together. Yeah. How great. These guys, both in their 90s, and I saw an interview with him a couple of years ago, and he was already into his 90s because he turns 93 today, and he's still just full of life, and he's just a happy guy, and
just stop and think about
for
it.
Everything.
A writer on your show of shows, one of the legendary comedy shows of all time. The producers. I love an early movie of his called The 12 Chairs. Then he goes on to Blazing Saddles, which, by the way, they're showing on regular TV. You can't show Blazing Saddles. It's impossible.
It's like pointless.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Young Frankenstein, all of these classics. And then all the stuff he's done on Broadway, his movies have been converted to Broadway shows that have been hits.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't stop.
Yeah, and the Broadway shows that have, or, you know, like the producers when they did turn that in to a Broadway show. I mean, and he was part of the whole music, you know, getting the music together and everything. He's just a creative genius.
There's a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee where they just go over to the house and they watch TV with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, and they just tell stories. If you get a chance, Preston, you'd really enjoy it.
Okay. Years ago, I used to work at a B. Dalton bookstore. It was in Bayshore, Long Island. It was along Sunrise Highway. Kathy, you know, that's a lot of times people take that drag to get out to the Hamptons.
Yeah.
So I go out into the store. I was in the back. They were smart enough to keep me in the back, just doing inventory. And there was Anne Bancroft Preston and Mel Brooks shopping. Blew my mind. Like,
wow. So Mel celebrates his 93rd birthday today. John Cusack also has his birthday. Did he already come and go in town?
Is it coming up? It might be tomorrow. Yeah. Or was it last Saturday?
I thought it was last weekend.
Okay. We were giving away tickets for it was for Say Anything, right? I think it was like a Q&A.
I think they were showing the movie and then a Q&A afterwards.
Yeah. The disappointing thing with John Cusack is that, you know, we love his body of work. He's not that good an interview.
Yeah, it was this past weekend. He was at the Kimmel Center.
But maybe he was good at that. I don't know.
Could have been riveting.
He's 53 today. John Elway, the former NFL star, is on the edge of 60 as he turns 59 today.
What was crazy about him was that, like, I remember seeing, it was like a summer documentary about him, and they showed him at, like, a water park going down a water slide, and he was a puffy guy. There was, like, no definition to, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, this dude's a professional athlete.
He was an athlete. He was carrying a little bit of a...
He's got man boobs.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But God, he can sling him. It, man.
For everybody.
Yeah, right?
The only thing I know of him now is if you happen to have a layover in the Denver airport, there's a John Elway restaurant there.
Yes, there is.
How is
it? Very successful. It's supposed to be a really good steakhouse.
He's made a ton of money on restaurants and more money selling cars than he ever did playing football.
He owns car lots?
He has five different dealerships in Denver. And he's made a mint doing it. It's like Piazza here in the Philly area.
He's 59 today. And then the last birthday, speaking of cars, Elon Musk.
Yes.
The creator of Tesla and also entrepreneur and engineer and SpaceX and all that stuff.
I love that he's around doing stuff.
It's so cool.
It's some amazing stuff.
He's a bit of a weird dude.
But
that's what you expect from some geniuses.
You kind of have to be, don't you? They all have some quirky weirdness that makes them do what they do.
Yep, he's 48 today. So happy birthday to everybody celebrating a birthday on Friday, June 28th. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question, the four H's. What do they stand for? The 4-H Club, 215-263-WMMR is the number. Let's go to Sabrina. Hi, Sabrina.
Hello, you guys rock.
Hey! Hey! Sabrina, do me a favor and tell me what those four H's stand for, please.
Yeah, so that is head, heart, hands, and health.
You got all of them.
Exactly correct. It's a good organization.
Hang on a second, Sabrina. $50 Rita's gift card. The five-layer gelati is back at Rita's. Add an extra layer of custard to your favorite gelati, only at Rita's. And only for a limited time. I was actually a member of the 4-H Club for a very short amount of time.
I was a member of the 4-F Club, which is find, feel, F, and forget.
Oh, yeah. Find them, F them, feel them, find them, feel them, F them, forget them.
You know it. You know the club.
Yeah. All right, so Kim Kardashian has released a statement regarding the backlash she's facing with her new shapewear line, Kimono.
Enough of this nonsense. Is this all because of cultural appropriation?
Yeah, well, now she's responding to it.
Okay.
So that's it. The backlash came yesterday. That's what I reported, and now the response comes
today.
Let
me guess. Is it a two-word response? Oh, yeah?
No, I don't think so. As previously reported, she had been accused of misrepresenting the traditional Japanese garment and has been called out for trademarking kimono. In a statement in the New York Times, Kardashian said that despite the name, she did not intend to design or release any garment that would in any way resemble or dishonor the traditional garment. She went on and said, I made the decision to name the company Kimono, not to disassociate the world from its Japanese roots, but as a nod to the beauty and detail that goes into a garment.
Hmm.
So there you go.
She's expanding her line to agricultural equipment, Preston.
Oh, she is?
The Roto-Kimmer.
The Roto-Kimmer.
Go on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kim Dozers.
Ooh, I like Kim Dozer.
Yeah,
I like
and the Kim Ho.
Yeah. I like that, too. Do you remember a product called the Ditch Witch?
I do remember that.
I don't. What was it?
I don't know. Some thing to dig up
my
the ground,
God.
Whatever it
Talk
was.
Talk about a flashback. Ditch Witch.
Yeah.
That was
I never
would have
thought of it. Hearing that brought up, the Roto-Kimmer.
Are you a sucker for as seen on TV stuff? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got the magnet door I envy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. If there's a scene on TV store,
yeah,
I got to go in there. I'm not going to buy any of that stuff, but I love looking at it.
You buy memories that last a weekend.
Yeah. She continued by saying, my solutionware brand is, and that's not a product name. I guess that's a.
It's a bot?
Well, a solution wear is a line. A line? No, it's not a line. I don't know.
It's from the derelict line.
It's a thing. Solution wear brand. I guess it's called a brand. Anyway, it's built with inclusivity and diversity at its core, and I'm incredibly proud of what's to come.
The inclusivity in these pans is a little tight around my balls.
Could you tug on the diversity a little bit there?
Oh, that's so much better.
It's down around my nutsack. The inclusivity around my nutsack.
Does that come down to your bunghole?
Around the inclusivity around my inclusive butthole. Inclusivity.
Kardashian also clarified her decision to trademark the name does not preclude or restrict anyone in this instance from making kimonos or using the word kimono in reference to the traditional garment.
You know what this is about, honestly, also? I bet you she's getting to take some of her newly found legal chops out for a spin.
Mm. Oh, right, right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Maybe. So,
does all right, she have any?
One more.
You know what, though? And we talked about this. In this case, she has actually really done some good work in getting people out. If you read some of the cases of the people who are in for really extended prison sentences that really turned their lives around, and she could have just thrown some money at it, but she really did some work.
She's doing it. She's walking the walk. So after all the drama with Tristan Thompson, the last thing on Khloe Kardashian's mind is dating. In an interview with Extra, the reality star said that she is definitely not thinking about dating. She said, I'm having such a great time spending time with my daughter. I'm loving
family. Right now it's about putting on weight before I hibernate.
She said, I'm loving family time, me time, and being with True. It's awesome. That's my focus right now. She also revealed she didn't watch the Tristan Thompson-Jordan Woods scandal unfold on her show because she doesn't want to relive the negativity, and she also stayed off social media when the episode aired.
What a coincidence. I didn't watch it either.
So she usually live tweets, from what I understand, while watching her own television show, so that's her thing. But speaking of Tristan. The NBA star wished Khloe a happy birthday yesterday on his Instagram page. He posted a pic of Khloe and their daughter, True, along with a caption, happy birthday, Khloe. You are the most beautiful human I've ever met inside and out. Thank you for being an amazing mommy to our princess, True. She's blessed to have someone like you to look up to. I wish you nothing but more success in sending you positive blessings your way. Enjoy your day, Coco.
Yeah, she's so amazing. He got a Hummer from a tub girl.
Yeah.
That's how amazing.
That's pretty amazing, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
No, but I understand. So more on this. Who is that?
That's the post that Tristan
Thompson. Chloe?
Yeah, and that's from Tristan Thompson's Instagram.
He pulled up the Instagram picture to which I was just referring, and she's doing the duck lips. And you don't need to do that.
Oh, my God.
Everybody stop doing that.
Everyone.
I think we looked at the picture right after she had just got her injections. You guys saw that picture. Yeah. She's walking along.
Yeah.
So how long after you get, I guess, if it's filler or was it collagen? Is that what they usually use?
So.
How long before that starts to deflate a little bit?
I don't know.
I don't know. I ran out of the office. I don't know.
It's interesting because, I saw a posting from a beautiful woman that we all know, and she was doing that and doesn't need to do that. The duck lip thing, and it actually makes you look worse, I think.
It looks
weird. But I don't know, to yourself, maybe does it look better?
Body dysmorphia?
But, like, at this point, like, just, I'm with you. Stop. Like, I want to start a campaign. Stop doing that face. Come up with a different one.
Yeah. Quick question. Yeah. What do ducks do in pictures?
Right. Yeah.
Human?
Yeah.
Human
put
face?
Smile. Yeah.
They have little mini human teeth.
Right.
But they put
look at this. Human face.
All right. Well, moving on, it looks like Lala Anthony ain't buying Carmelo Anthony's recent explanation about being photographed with a mystery woman on a yacht in the south of France.
Whoa! If we cared about this, this would be a hell of a story.
I know. Sometimes I just go because the names are funny.
Well, trust me, you were talking about this yesterday, and then so, of course, I like to read up on everything and see, you know, make sure that I'm able to converse with you on
this.
And this was the lead story on like three or four different sites.
No kidding.
So, yeah. Hang on a second, though. They're not together anymore, correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Yeah.
So when was this picture taken that it even matters?
This was just after the Eisenhower inauguration.
Okay, so, I mean, was this picture taken while Lala and Mello were together? And
I don't know.
What does it even matter?
By the way, so TMZ just salivates over stuff like this, don't they?
They live. Sometimes I go through and the list of stories concerning Tekashi 69 and sub rappers get full blown treatment, and I'm like, and sometimes I'll turn to my wife and I'll say, I have no use for this site anymore.
Yeah. Do you ever watch a TMZ show?
Yeah. They're
a bunch of clowns.
TMZ Live is not bad.
Oh, yeah.
The TMZ show where they're sitting around that's so wonderfully parodied.
Uh-huh. In the office.
Yeah,
you're talking about.
Yeah.
But sometimes they overly dissect really silly things amongst really non-important people.
That's a byproduct of having like 50 reporters out trying to get stories.
Yeah.
And then they also buy stories from quote-unquote their reporters who are just photographers
who
go up and ask questions.
Mm-hmm. But then again, somebody sitting in their car right now said, you guys are doing that right
exactly,
now.
Exactly, and they're
so
right.
Shut up.
None of your business.
Wait, is he no longer in the NBA, Melo?
No, he was kind of like released.
He's in the middle.
He was playing for Houston last year.
Okay.
And then ended up not on any team. There was talks of maybe the Sixers pick him up.
He's out of shape. He's really.
Probably.
If you see him in this way, he sits up and he's you're talking about a dad bod.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Lala, so after this picture posted of him with the mystery woman, Lala took her Instagram page and responded with a broken heart and crying face emoji.
Oh, no.
And she posted a heart with a knife going through it.
Did she post a poop emoji?
She later deleted that post. No, there was no poop emoji.
Lala sad.
There's an emoji with a heart with a knife through it?
Well, I don't know. It just says a picture.
Stabbed in the heart?
Oh. It says she posted a heart with a knife going through it. So it doesn't say picture or emoji. So, Nick, I don't know.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I know what she meant by it. I just didn't know if there was an emoji.
But... No, but it might have been the heart emoji, and then there is a knife. Oh,
there is a knife, yeah.
All right. It says knife going through it.
So. Oh.
Are you more inclined to do...
Now I'm really concerned.
We need to figure this out.
Yeah.
I think we all favor GIFs. Right?
I do. That's
I love those.
I love gifts are fun to post. To text.
I'll just sit and look through them.
It's funny
I'll take a GIF over an emoji.
It's funny to see what is and isn't available in a GIF. You know, you'll type in some cryptic phrase and it'll be like, there's not one for that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
but sometimes it's like a misspelling. Like you can, I don't think boobs is there, but if you do three O's, then there's... Yeah.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Like, tell me there's got to be a GIF of the... Three boobed girl from Total Recall, right?
Oh my God, I don't know. Anyway, we're done with this story. I'm not talking about it anymore.
Okay.
Idris Elba has admitted that he was disappointed that people were opposed to him playing the role of James Bond simply because he's black. The rumor started back in 2014 when an email from Sony Pictures senior executive Amy Pascal, where she had said Idris should be the next Bond. Idris told Vanity Fair that he has no plans to play Bond. He said, You get disheartened when you get people from a generational point of view going, it can't be. And it really turns out to be the color of my skin. And then if I get it and it didn't work or it did work, would it be because of the color of my skin? That's a difficult position to put myself into when I don't need to.
So, you know, I'm a massive Bond fan and I came at it from a different way. He's so good.
He
should have his own series. And I would hate to saddle somebody that good. He could pull off Bond no problem. But he would always be the Black Bond.
Yeah.
And that's a dumb saddle to put some on someone. Create a give him his own series.
I remember
he can handle it.
It was an issue when Daniel Craig was the first blonde Bond.
Blonde and blue eye.
And you're like, oh, this is a thing?
I know, but I mean, still, like, you the likelihood of them, you know, three movies in going, the blonde James Bond.
Right,
but you know the black James Bond would stay throughout the entire run of Idris Elba's Bond career.
And the next Bond would have to be a black Bond as well.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Because he'd be the first Black Bond.
And at least, exactly. He'd be the first Black Bond, yes.
And then you play all this stuff, and then you extract from his formidable capabilities.
Yeah. I'm still, it wouldn't sully his, his paychecks, and he'd be just fine.
Absolutely,
But he explained, James Bond is a hugely coveted, iconic, beloved character that takes audiences on this massive escapism journey. Of course, if someone said to me, do you want to play James Bond? I'd be like, yeah. That's fascinating to me, but it's not something I've expressed like, yeah, I want to be the next be the Black James Bond. Because, by the way, we're talking about a spy. If you really want to break it down, the more or less obvious it is, the better. He said, Bond is one of the biggest franchises in the world, and for that reason, whoever ends up playing it lives it. You're that character and known as that character for many, many years.
He's right.
He said, I'm creating characters now that can still live alongside Ildris, not ones that take over, me and solely define me. Idris also opened up about married life. He and Sabrina Dowry tied the knot back in April. He said, everything's a balance in life. I have to do the work because it's a popular time for me, and it's best to have that. But also, I'm madly in love with my wife and my children.
Is he still the reigning sexiest man of the year? People Magazine,
was it? I believe he is, right?
Yeah. He's in the new Hobbs and Shaw movie, and he refers to himself in the trailer as Black Superman, which, is sort of a tongue-in-cheek joke. But has there actually been a Black Superman in the comics?
I don't know. That story arc is so long, I have no idea.
There has been a black uniform. Does that count?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, a couple other things. The first trailer for the new Charlie's Angels has debuted. The film, which stars Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ella Balinska as the Angels, also stars Elizabeth Banks. She's going to be playing Bosley in it, and she directed the movie, and it's a co-screenwriter as well. I watched it. The ladies look amazing in it, and they're taking a more serious tone with it than the other series.
Like a Mission Impossible tone?
Not that serious.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to explain. Steve, you'd have to see it for yourself, but it's not really goofy tongue in cheek like the other one was.
Right.
This is there's real threats, and I'd say kind of along the lines of the Kingsman, but without
all the big
effects taking place. But it looks good.
All right.
It looks really good. And
I didn't like
Kristen
the other ones.
Stewart looks fantastic.
I know you guys did. I didn't really
like
care
the first
for it.
I thought the first one was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I thought they did some cutesy stuff with it, and the action was really cool.
I don't even think I made it all the way through.
Wow, okay.
Mm.
But Kristen looks amazing. And this girl, Naomi Scott, I mean, all three of them are just absolutely gorgeous. But it's going to be coming out November 15th. Shannon Doherty posted a pic with her TV brother Jason Priestley on the set of Beverly Hills 90210 reboot on Wednesday.
I didn't realize that Jason Priestley was in Tombstone.
Yeah, because
I was watching it the other night.
He's chronicling the whole story.
There are a few people who have little bitty roles in that film who you can miss in the blink of the eye. He's one of them.
Billy Bob.
Billy Bob Thornton, the guy from Wings. I'm having.
Oh, Thomas Hayden Church.
He's the one
who causes that shootout.
He has a really small role in it as well. And there's a bunch of people in Tombstone.
Anyway.
There's one character. Nobody will know what I'm talking about. There's a guy that played one of my all-time favorite movies. It's a surf movie called North Shore, and a guy who plays this character called Turtle has a little bitty role in Tombstone, and I'm always excited to see Turtle in that.
Turtle!
Yeah, but anyhow, so he is, what was I talking about?
You were talking about
Jason Priestley. Jason Priestley. So Shannon Doherty wrote, and just like that, the twins are back. Jenny Garth, Tori Spelling, Ian Ziering, Brian Austin Green are all returning to the show, and that will premiere on August 7th on Fox.
So it seems as if Shannon Doherty has gotten past the health issues,
cancer. Breast cancer, right?
Breast cancer, yeah.
I believe so, yeah. So that's good.
I'm definitely watching it.
Cool. The ratings for CBS This Morning are falling fast after the show revamped its anchor lineup last month. The ratings went up briefly after adding Anthony Mason and Tony Docopile to join Gail King in late May, as Norah O'Donnell was picked up by the new CBS Evening News anchor and John Dickerson moved to 60 Minutes. That's one that I'll just, if I happen to be up and have the TV on, I'll flip by and see what's going on. They do some interesting stuff.
Well, these guys aren't that well known, and their slogan of, if you liked us nowhere else before, you're going to love us here.
Right. they're working on.
Yeah, they need to tinker with that.
But for the week of June 17th, This Morning had the smallest average audience since the changes. And total viewers, they're down more than 3.1 million
Bring
viewers.
Back Charlie Rose. Yeah. Charlie Rose. Just allow him to walk around with his robe open.
But anyhow, according to Page Six, the ratings for both NBC's Today Show and ABC's Good Morning America were down for the same time period, too. So maybe just a lot of people weren't watching. I don't really know. According to E! Online, Beth Chapman will be cremated per her final wishes. Her attorney said in a statement there will be a memorial service in Hawaii and Colorado. The details are still being finalized. Meanwhile, A&E will air in memoriam tributes to the reality star during their airing of Dog the Bounty Hunter on Monday. She passed away on Wednesday. We talked about it yesterday after a long struggle with throat cancer. She was only 51 years old.
So she had that initial struggle. She was in remission. And then when it came back and she was dead pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he had said. It came on very fast. So, unfortunately. And the Duke and Duchess of Sussex confirmed yesterday that they will be touring Africa this fall. In a post on their royal...
It's going to take a lot to drag me away from you.
On their Instagram page.
I get it.
Yeah. They also hinted that their son Archie will be joining them.
I bless the land down in Africa.
They wrote... They wrote, this will be their first official tour as a family.
Look over that wagon. I'm on care.
They will visit the country of South Africa with Prince Harry and also make stops.
Come on, everybody. Hands in the air.
They'll also make stops in Malawi and Angola. He'll also do a short working visit in Botswana en route to their to the other countries.
Working?
Yeah, that's what it says, yeah. So I would imagine that would be charity.
They're probably glamping, right?
Wow, okay. Yeah,
maybe.
No, charity makes sense. Yeah. I just wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
The couple added, the Duke and Duchess are really looking forward to meeting so many of you on the ground and continuing to raise awareness.
We would love to meet Tarzan.
And raise awareness. He's not real.
That's not this.
What?
Yes. Not real.
Cancel the trip.
raise awareness of the high impact... work local communities are doing across
do you remember
the Commonwealth and beyond. What?
We all tried to do the turn.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's a Daily Rush video somewhere. It's impossible.
It is impossible.
To yell like that?
You have to have an operatic capability.
Kathy, do it.
How that guy did that, I don't know. And that was it, the actor.
That was Johnny Weissmuller.
Johnny Weissmuller.
That's my understanding.
He actually was able to, that's impressive. I've never heard anybody successfully.
Like that.
Try.
Carol Burnett gets close.
Yeah, but she's, you know, she's female. She's got a higher register in her voice. But for a guy to be able to actually yell like that.
Yeah. Play it again.
All right. Hit it.
And here we go.
I mean, listen to that top part. That
real
that trill.
Falsetto, almost yodel type.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
And they, it like purposely kind of goes like out of tune a little bit.
Now, I've never looked on YouTube. Maybe somebody has pulled it off successfully.
Okay.
You never know.
You don't want to hear that in the jungle.
Did you see the last Tarzan film?
Yes, with the dude from True Lie or True Blood.
Yeah,
True Blood. Is that who played him?
Yeah, he's one of the Skarsgårds.
Christoph Waltz is in it. Yes, and Margot Robbie. I actually kind of liked it.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't amazing, but I did like how they kind of took the legend of him and he came back and he started to get back into his
society.
He's pretty much a superhero.
I just don't like it when they kill the gorillas. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Stop it with the gorilla killing. Did you see the one that Bo Derek was in years ago? That was pretty terrible.
No.
Yeah.
That wasn't...
It was more about Jane than it was about Tarzan.
Greystoke?
No, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah. That's what that dude who... God, he looks like Phil Hartman.
He was in high... Yeah, Phil Hartman is Tarzan.
Phil Hartman is Tarzan. Featuring Rob Schneider, Chris Farley, and Dana Carvey.
It's the all SNL version. Yeah. A serious, dramatic Tarzan with all SNL cast members.
You Tarzan. Isn't that special?
Why is my phone talking?
Because you asked.
You asked Siri about
Siri somehow.
And Siri apparently piped up on that. Yeah. Here are the matches for Tarzan. Shut up, Siri. Please.
Sorry.
And now she's not answering me, you
bitch. Oh, be that way.
I have an Alexa in my bedroom, and in the middle of the night, somehow I paired it with my phone, and I was playing music like from my phone, and it just started playing music in the middle of the night very loudly. And
freak
I was like,
out a little bit?
Alexa, stop.
Trying to put you in the mood. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the movie years ago, Demon Seed, where the woman had the assistant robot in the house that actually impregnated her?
No. Oh, wait a minute. Long time ago?
Long time ago.
Yeah, I do
remember
that.
Robert Vaughn did the voice of the robot.
I'm going to have to write that down.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was from way back when. I think it was from first we got HBO.
Yes, you'd be right, around that time. Right.
So the Royals are going to Africa, huh?
They're going to Africa.
And a robot impregnated.
Tarzan and a robot impregnated a woman.
I very much look forward to meeting Tarzan.
All right.
He can talk to the animals, you know.
Let's get to the clips.
Oh, yeah.
Is that cool? All right, so where the hell are my clips?
Right here.
Oh, thank you. Based on...
Wait a second.
No, it's not Mr. Clips.
No, it's Friday.
No.
Movie's opening.
Oh, movie's opening, Preston.
Oh, damn it.
Do you have that?
Oh, poo.
Darn.
Oh, poo. Yeah, I do have them. I'm sorry.
Because the Clips would come after the movie. Yeah,
you are right. And I went way too long in that entertainment report. I apologize. It's already 8 minutes after seven, but we do have to lead you to the box office this weekend. Let you know what is opening brand new for your viewing pleasure. All right, we'll start with this one. Annabelle Comes Home.
This is getting pretty good reviews.
Is it?
Yeah.
After they've, how many times have they gone to this well?
250.
I've never seen any of these
movies.
This
would be the, there was Annabelle, this would be, including the original movie, the fourth.
Okay. It's a horror film directed by Gary Dauberman. It stars Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, McKenna Grace, and others. The evil doll, Annabelle, terrorizes the young daughter of famed paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren. It's rated R, hour and 46 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes score so far is 65%.
Lorraine Warren just passed SNL mode. Lorraine Warren just passed away 2 weeks ago, I think.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, and then the other one, and it's been recommended that I go see this from somebody who caught a sneak peek of it, and I definitely will, Yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a musical / comedy. It's directed by Danny Boyle, who's phenomenal.
Home run.
Stars Lily James, Himesh Patel, Elise Chapel, Kate McKinnon, and Ed Sheeran is in it as well. And it's about a struggling musician who wakes up one morning to find that he's the only person who's ever heard of the Beatles or the Beatles music, and he knows all the Beatles songs. It's an interesting concept. It's rated PG-13. It's an hour and 56 minutes and has got a score of 65% so far, Rotten Tomatoes.
So for me, it's going to come. It comes back around, but the mystery is how, does it finish off with him remaining the only one? Or eventually we assume people remember, right?
Either that or maybe he wakes up from a dream something like that.
Oh, that's such a cop-out.
I know
that.
It is, but it's the only
thing. He's Tarzan.
So who knows?
Tarzan had strange dream.
Wakes up.
What? Tell me, Tarzan, what happened?
Tarzan, only man who remember Beatles music.
All right, okay, do you want me to do this now?
It is real quick.
All right, MGM claimed to have enhanced the Tarzan yell in post-production. Reportedly,
they did it in post.
They added and mixed the following. A second track of Weissmuller's voice amplified, a track of a hyena howl played backwards, a note sung by a female opera soprano with the speed varied to produce a fluttery sound, the growl of a dog, the bleat of a camel, and the raspy note of a violin's G string being bowed.
So he did it all himself.
I don't believe that.
No?
I don't. No, play it again.
Okay.
That seems a lot more simple than all that crap.
I don't hear all of that.
Yeah, I hear the hyena clearly.
Let's go to the clips. Let's do those now. All right. Thank you. Based on the Philip Meyer book, The Sun chronicles the birth of America and the rise and fall of a Texas ranching and oil family. And in this clip, Pierce Brosnan discusses the portrayal of his character.
So there is such a duality to the man. There's also a mild kind of schizophrenia, if you want to go into that arena.
Why is he talking like this?
There's such a duality to the man.
He normally doesn't talk like that.
Because he was mangled and tortured and fractured at a very early age. This is the man that I portray. He has this fierce, wild streak within him, and yet he has this geniality.
Really?
Yeah. Serious
That's the
finale.
Thing. They need to do that in order to play these. They have to create these, like, backstory.
You wanted to make it seem as if you really had to took dissect the character and then reassembled him in a way that would suggest early Americana and something that pertained to the growing industry in America and the eventuality of the duality of the zeitgeist. Are we done yet?
The series finale of The Sun. Airs tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on AMC.
She wraps it up with a Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Let's all think Nugent and Sunny D versus the Purple Star.
That's a good one.
That's in the next clip. Oh, Christ. Can you imagine a world where Abbey Road and Sgt. Pepper's never existed? Well, Yesterday features a struggling singer-songwriter who becomes the only person who remembers the Beatles' music, and he uses that to start his career. Here, Himesh Patel talks about Ed Sheeran preparing him to perform for a crowd.
We were talking in rehearsal because Ed came to rehearsal. You know, he was so great to work with. He was just very normal. Actor. And I asked him, like, you know, how do you do this, like, perform in front of thousands of people in stadiums? And he said, well, when the adrenaline starts kicking in, the crowd sometimes become like a blob, and he just plays to the blob.
Stop!
He plays to the blip. Yesterday is in theaters today, as I said just a little while ago. All right, and there you go. That's the entertainment report for you this morning, my friend. So let's take a break. It's already almost a quarter after 7.
Oh, my God.
We're just
wrapping
this up. I know. And we have, in about an hour, our friend Brad Williams is going to be in the studio. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Make sure that you stay with us this morning.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, the Greg Silver Band. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. You get more beautiful every time. You make me say yeah. See and hear more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. The Greg Silver Band, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Kat sent over a story to me a little while ago about health officials in New Jersey warning people not to swim in one of the state's largest lakes. And I'm not familiar with where this is. Lake Hapatcong?
Hapatcong?
Or Hapatcong. 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 Is what, how you spell it.
What town, Preston?
I don't know. It does not say in this particular
40,
story.
40 miles from Manhattan. It's located 30 miles from the Delaware River.
Okay, and they say that they're warning people not to swim in it because of a harmful algae bloom.
Ooh.
That has taken over the lake. And by the way, so, you know, I live in a golf course community, and so we have a couple of small ponds out there. And I've noticed that what I've never seen before, all this algae and stuff coming in from the banks that are headed towards the center are really overgrown.
I've seen people swim and stuff like that. No, it's disgusting.
It's because of the heavy rainfall followed by the warm weather. So, I mean, as great as Kathy, you've been talking about how great the plumage looks right now, and so that happens in the water as well. There was, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
Steve,
please.
There was one time my son and I, Carter and I went to Montana to a dude ranch. And they had these off-road vehicles that you could take and just go wherever you wanted to. And they said that there was this lake. It was called Soda Lake. And it was, you know, like a half hour away, something like that. You had to take these roads nobody was on. And we eventually got there. And it was beautiful. It was isolated. Nobody there at all. We had this to ourselves. It was gorgeous. And you just wanted to get in the water.
Yeah.
Because it looked so beautiful. But they told us at the dude ranch, they're like, You can swim in it if you want to, but
that's a bad. It's a bad beginning.
Exactly,
that's a bad beginning to a sentence.
Yeah. But they said you just have to be careful of the leeches.
Oh, yeah. No.
So we're sitting there, we're looking at this beautiful thing, and I'm like, man, I want to get in there so bad, and there's no way.
No way.
The issues, like, with large ponds, you know, the old classic old swimming hole, Preston.
Yeah.
The flesh-eating bacteria.
Well, that's what Casey's terrified of. Yeah.
That's that sort of stuff. The viruses, the you know, all those weird things that are in these larger lakes, you know, and you talk
fine.
About this, right? Years, you know, large lakes are, that's, for many, that is their, instead of going to the ocean, they go to the lake.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
When I lived in South Carolina for a few years, we had two swimming holes.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's what they were. When you got enough rain, they would fill up, and they had names. There was Big John and Little John.
There you go.
and you would go swimming in them, and I never once thought about, you know, flesh-eating bacteria.
All right. Hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What killed it for me very early on was the movie Creepshow. Because there's a guy in the movie where he's, like, laying on the dock, and next thing you know, he's got this thing sucking his face down.
Yeah, it's like
water.
A tarish material
alive.
That's a great sequence.
I know, but, like, that's kind of what ruined lakes for me from
Creep
the very,
show.
Very beginning.
Yeah.
And
all right, I can see that.
But, like, I will go New Hampshire, man, the Winnipesaukee, like that lake.
You
water,
swam in that lake?
I swam in that lake, but it was spring fed. It was cold. I didn't really have to worry about that.
I don't like sooty, mushy.
Yeah, but yes.
I don't like that aspect of lakes,
right.
But I've been in lakes where that's not the case, where you have,
right.
You
not
know,
all lakes are the same.
Yes.
But I went to, also when I was in New Hampshire last year, it wasn't a lake, it was a swimming hole. And it was jumping off of these rocks, and it was cold, you know, like it's the warmer weather, warmer lakes that kind of like bug me out a little.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Kathy had also sent me over. this is from a website called Science 101. The top places you should never, ever go swimming.
Get ready, Case.
And
here comes more paranoia.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, and I'll do my best to.
This is good advice, though.
To skip over some of these, and some of them are
obvious.
Casey's favorite subject, sharks.
Oh. So quick thing here, Preston. You've had a number of stories in the Bizarre File about people who've gone and have swam in these various places and have ended up with things that have rotted their brains out and caused all sorts of horrific things.
Yeah.
It's not like it doesn't happen.
It's extremely rare.
It's incredibly common.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's very, very rare. Hang on real quick. Before I go to these places, let me go to Joanne because she wants to share a story in tandem to what I was talking about just a second ago. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to share with us?
Well, I guess it was about 10 years ago. My daughter played travel softball, and we used to go to different tournaments, and one of them was in Ocean City, Maryland. So my two boys were with me, and they were only about like 5 and 4 at the time. And it was pouring rain, so the games were canceled. So we were back at the hotel, and I would let them play along the outside the hotel because it was a torrential rain and it was kind of like flooding. So then I was watching them, and the next thing you know, they walked down to the end of the hotel and they kind of disappeared. So I went to the end, and there was this girl who was on it from another team, and she was standing over my one son who was kind of picking at things. And I'm like, and so I said to my one son, I said, "What's he doing?" And the girl's like, "I think he's pulling leeches off." So here he had leeches all around the waistband of his bathing suit, all in his legs. And here he is, 4 years old, picking them off of him. I was so grossed out. It was
It's disgusting.
Yeah. All right, thanks, John.
You saw The African Queen, right? You remember that scene in The African Queen where he's pulling the boat through the river?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets up, and his body from the neck down is just leeches. They just
you know what's weird is you
target you.
Apparently they have a mild
like a sedative.
Yeah, well, it's not a sedative. It's a
like a lidocaine, a numbing agent.
A numbing agent. Yeah, and you don't feel them.
Right.
Latch onto you and then dig into your skin. It's a natural.
They used to be a method of medical treatment.
Yes, but,
you know,
it
still
actually,
is. Yeah,
still is. All right, so anyhow, away from leeches, on to Lake Kivu in Rwanda, one of the places you should never swim.
Oh, yeah. That's my summer vacation, Preston.
One of the most dangerous lakes on planet Earth. You know this story, Nick?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, it's called, it looks deceiving, it's beautiful, but the lake is considered an exploding lake.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which means...
Which you shouldn't go swimming in.
Yeah. Then on occasion, it can erupt. And this is due to the unstable ground afforded to it by a nearby volcano. Unfortunately, When this lake erupts, it releases into the air bountiful amounts of carbon dioxide.
Is this the lake that, like, killed a village near it?
I'm not sure if that's the one or not, but I do remember that story, Steve. So if there's all this CO2, it's taking up the space of oxygen.
That's and not so, good. Yeah, we like oxygen.
You can't breathe.
Like raisins in our meatballs.
It's a lot like that. So that's a place you don't want to go to. There's also Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which, listen, some of these you got to take with a little tongue-in-cheek because thousands upon thousands of people will descend upon Myrtle Beach and be just fine.
Right.
But the riptides are dangerous there.
Riptide? Now, that I've always known. The riptides down there are formidable.
Specifically in Myrtle Beach?
Yes.
Yes, in Myrtle Beach. And in tandem with that are the presence of warm water cannonball jellyfish.
Oh, cannonball jellyfish.
They're deadly. They can paralyze those that sting in the water, while neither is likely to kill on their own when you combine them. If you get stung by jellyfish and then dragged out by a riptide, you're probably going to die.
Oh, man.
So they're saying it's dangerous to be there.
Just look for the cannons.
West End, Grand Bahama Islands.
All right, so what makes
beautiful
this
there? By the way, the water is crystal clear. It is the most beautiful light blue you've ever seen. You can see right to the bottom.
A lot of these are those, like, beautiful crystal clear where you want to go in, but they're saying no.
So if you are just another side here, some of the most beautiful, I think two or three of the most beautiful beaches or the beaches deemed to be in the top 10 in the world are in Bermuda. And Bermuda seldom has any issues. So it's very expensive, but if you get down to Bermuda, they're wonderful beaches.
All right, so with being able to see to the bottom of the ocean, you can see all the sharks that are there.
Yay!
On Tiger Beach, for instance, you will find a great abundance of tiger sharks, and tiger sharks are one of the more vicious of the shark species. You are likely safe, however, if you decide to venture into the waters, and the risk of shark attacks is actually very, very low. So keep that in mind.
You know, it's come around in this, well, come around in a bad way. Cape Cod has issues. Now, no one has been attacked, but their great white shark population is becoming more robust because their seal population is getting more robust.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man.
Yep.
Did you anybody see the video of that shark attacking the dog in the surf?
No.
It is terrifying. But what ends up happening are these three dogs are now attacking this shark. But what you see, and it's in this, it's in really shallow water. And there's just a dog kind of waiting in the water. And you just see this shark go, boom, just beelines for this dog.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm thrilled with this.
Scary.
Yeah.
Did the dog live or die?
I didn't stick around long enough to.
Okay,
it's an inspiring new movie.
So here's another place you should never go swimming, although I would want to because it looks awesome. Victoria Falls.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Zambia. One of the greatest series of waterfalls that exists. So here's the deal. They have these areas that are called devil's pools.
Yeah.
And you guys have seen footage of people. It looks like they're going to fall over the side.
Yes.
And that they're in the falls. These little pools are little digs that accumulate water in which you can swim. They're literally on the lip of the falls. And people have fallen out of those things because they've been careless about it.
I think of it as like nature's infinity pools, Preston.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looks like. But they look so cool. But so you're saying a lot of times people will go over.
Sometimes if you're not careful, yes. But they can you can get in there. But they say that it can be very dangerous.
I think there's those pools exist in Yosemite as well because there's some waterfall. And I'm going there this summer.
Really?
But I think I'm not 100% sure. But I think in Yosemite Falls, there's a spot where you can go swimming out into the river, and I wouldn't do it only because that element of fear of heights creeps into my brain pretty fast. Like, when you look out over that edge, even if you're in a secure spot, I get weirded out by it.
I agree. You know, especially turning my back.
Yeah.
We're looking at a picture right now where the two of the guys have their back. This is it's a magnificent waterfall.
Wow,
but that's not me.
Wow, that looks amazing.
I wouldn't do that unless I had a parachute on.
I'm skipping around a few of these because there's a lot of them on this list. Queensland, Australia.
Well, if you just said Australia, I have every reason not to go.
Home to an abundance of deadly and terrifying creatures. There are sharks, saltwater crocodiles, stonefish, and the exceptionally deadly blue-ringed octopi and box jellyfish.
Would you ever, in a unvetted body of water in Australia, would you ever?
No.
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 You'd be insane.
No, especially the box jellyfish is particularly deadly. One sting from this tiny creature can induce a cardiac arrest, which can kill you almost instantly.
Yay.
There's a place called the Strid.
The Strid sounds wonderful.
In the middle of Yorkshire, England. And what makes it so dangerous is the presence of small and hidden creatures. These currents, or I'm sorry, small and hidden currents.
Oh.
The currents for those who fall in can quickly become deadly, sucking people down and in. The result was that you drown and face the bottom. Most often the currents will drag you beneath rocks, which causes you to get trapped, and then you drown.
Yeah, there's a place similar, actually just kind of like north of North Wildwood, where the ocean meets into the Anglesey area. And I never knew that, but, like, there, you know, my cousin tells me, like, don't even think about, even if you're, like, waist deep in this particular area, you just get sucked right out.
Oh, we were whitewater rafting in Vancouver, and a lot of people will be thrown off. They'll think, hey, I'll get out of the boat, you know, and just kind of swim along a little bit. They don't realize how fast the current is moving, and there are a lot of trees off to the side.
Yeah.
So if the branches stick out and you get caught, it'll pull you under.
Yep. Yeah.
And you there's no way that amount of water moving against your body will just keep you under.
Yep. There's a place called Reunion Island. It is a small little island off the coast of Madagascar, located succinctly in the Indian Ocean. The place has become the shark capital of the world.
Oh, that is awesome.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. The shark attack capital of the world.
Reunion Island.
It says that there have been a record number of around 39 attacks on this island. The number is still low considering the drastically high number of people who actually swim there each year. But still, it's got the most shark attacks that you'll find.
Don't ever go there. It should be blown up.
There's a place called the Blue Lagoon.
Oh, with Brooke Shields?
Yeah.
In Iceland?
No, it's in the UK.
Oh.
The Blue Lagoon.
And it is, the lake has such a drastically high pH level. The natural pool has an alkalinity comparable to that of ammonia or bleach.
Oh, so it's like a quarry.
Yeah, if ammonia leaks into a local lake or stream, it is quarantined because of the potential danger. The Buxton, Derbyshire Blue Lagoon, it says, should be avoided at all costs. It looks like, yeah, we're looking at it. It looks like a quarry.
How many times over the years have people jumped into those hot springs?
Oh, my God.
Not realizing
how
that
hot
they're
they are?
Boiling hot?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of quarries, I would like to go swim at a flooded quarry sometime.
I thought that's what you
did.
I guess you know what I did. Yeah. Dutch Springs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Wait, I already did this.
Well, that was...
You were scuba diving.
Yeah. I'm thinking more of like...
just like a swimming hole. Like a breaking away.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Is it clear?
They all go, yeah, there's visibility. I mean, you've got like, you know, 10 yards of visibility.
Like in it.
Like that, so...
I don't know if it was, you know, our moms being overly concerned or overly protective, but we were always warned as we were kids growing up because there were two quarries near us where you could swim, never to go in them because there was old equipment
yes.
underneath.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So we never did.
But I tell you what, at Dutch Springs, which is not too far away, it's some of the coldest water I've ever swam in. It's I've been in worse. I've been in cold springs where it's like you just can't even tolerate it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
So cold. But this is it's fed by a cold spring, and the deeper you go, and it's like 90 feet deep.
Yeah.
If you want to dive deep, because we did our diving certification, our open water certification.
My wife did as well, yeah.
And it's freaking freezing.
Is that where they have the water park stuff there?
Yeah, they do. Okay. They have all kinds of inflatable stuff on top of the water, Casey, but underneath,
right.
They have like fire engines and boats and a helicopter and platforms and all these things for you to do your diving certification and exploration.
A lot of people wear what they call dry suits. They go down there. They're supposed to be a little bit warmer, are they not?
Dry suits are a real pain in the ass. They actually fill up with air.
Yeah.
But people prefer wetsuits over that. But that's usually in real extreme conditions
that
they'll use a dry suit. But yeah, it's supposed to be warmer. All right. In Indonesia, there is the Sitarium River. And the archipelago is home to some of the most beautiful shorefronts visible, but there's a mass amount of biodiversity. The life there has adapted differently on each of the different islands. But despite all this beauty and splendor, it is sometimes a place you shouldn't swim. The river is an example of this, and it's mainly because of pollution. People have filled the place with so much garbage that it has since become uninhabitable by the local swimmer.
It doesn't blow your mind that people will go and swim in the Ganges?
That's on this list, too. That's way up
on
this
list. Which is just a flowing bubbling sewer.
Yeah, in fact, that's, yeah, it says here.
It's tempting.
Pollution. Yeah, right. This is the Ganges. Pollution, carbon emissions. The Ganges River in India has become the most dangerous area in which to swim. People.
No, no effing way. Yeah.
I put into the water trash, plastic, and pretty much everything else that they didn't want to deal with. And the result is now the toxic Ganges.
Where around, I mean, around here are there, obviously, you know, there are people.
Right around here?
Yeah.
I would think canals would be the most dangerous around here because that's more like standing water.
Yeah.
Most of the rivers in this area are relatively clean, especially when compared to, say, the Ganges.
Yeah, but right. There's that canal in Manhunk, right? It's right. Like it's on the, you know, the
oh,
banks.
The towpath?
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's on the banks of the Schuylkill River, and I see people like fishing there all the time.
Sure.
And
what about swimming?
No, I've never seen. Like, even the ducks go, no.
Nah.
But
they're fishing there, and I'm like, are they going to eat what they catch there? Is this
probably
just for fun?
Yeah.
In that gross-ass canal.
I mean, just because it looks gnarly doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, has like mercury or
well
high levels of toxicity in it.
Like if they are fishing along like where the bus station is right off of Main Street there.
Oh yeah, over that bridge, right?
That's all stocked. There are no, you know, the fish are put in, you know.
Okay, so this has always freaked me out. And oddly enough, you shouldn't swim around Hoover Dam.
No. No, why?
That's who on this swims list. Around Hoover Dam?
Idiots. Dangerous place. Yeah, exactly. Man, dams are impressive and wonderful pieces of engineering, but they terrify me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And, you know, because growing up...
Do you think
up,
it's because of underwater...
Well, that's it. Yeah. Because growing up, we spent a lot of time on lakes. And most lakes, a lot of lakes are formed by dams. And at some point, if you're in a boat, you're going to end up over by the dam. And there's all kinds of big warning signs and don't go past this area and stuff. It always...
Damn right!
The idea of getting sucked into a dam is one of my greatest fears.
Or, I tell you, it's the stuff of nightmares as you're heading along the roads into Niagara. And you're seeing the progression of signs.
Yes.
Do not go past this point. Yeah. Do not go past this point. What are you doing past this point?
And they have these big things out in the river that are these pieces of machinery that direct the flow of the. And I'm like, it scares me for some reason.
I've done a ton of swimming out off of boats and stuff like that. But I tell you what, when you get into the water next to a boat initially, it's unnerving.
Oh, yeah.
It's unnerving. Yeah. It really is.
With the engine on the back?
Yeah.
I immediately see my leg being chopped
absolutely
up to bits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with the prop.
See, I did a lot of water skiing as a kid, and anytime I got in any body of water, I just said to my dad, go. Like, get me up as fast as possible. Not because of the motor, just because
your
I don't know.
Dangling legs.
Under me, yes.
Calling to all sea creatures to gnaw on your kneecaps.
Yes.
Steve, I was always thinking about the prop on
the props.
Boat. It always just freaked me out a little bit. All right, so anyhow, the currents are super strong around Hoover Dam. There are many intakes along the dam, which allow the water at the top to move down to the bottom at a controlled pace. The intakes have ostensibly taken the lives of many unsuspecting swimmers.
Really?
The dam also has something called Bellmouth spillways, which are uncontrolled ways through which they transport water. So there's all kinds of issues.
What's the deadliest body of... Is this listed by the deadliest?
Yeah, there's a number one on here if you want me to get right to it.
What's the number one deadliest swim where people occasionally will swim?
The Boiling Lake.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
In Dominica. One of the most dangerous places to swim.
Come on.
Yes.
The name alone says it.
That's what drew me into this whole list. I read that first one and I was like,
Boiling Lake.
Yes.
It is the presence of scalding hot magma beneath the surface.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't go in?
This magma induces the water to reach the temperature of a boiling point, literally causing the lake to boil.
The lake boils.
Come in. It's really great.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, so refreshing.
It's really great.
But where's Dominica? Because I'm thinking Dominican Republic.
No, it's Dominica.
Dominica?
It's its own island in the Caribbean.
So how many people have died there? Does it give a... I assume there are convenient warning signs around telling you that you'll be boiled to death.
I don't think these are ranked by incidences and deaths. It's just like dangerous water.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Go in.
You'll boil to death.
Yeah. Why don't they just throw a giant ice cube in there to cool it off?
Yeah. Why didn't they think of that?
Come on.
I wonder how many idiots injure themselves or kill themselves because they look at
The Grand Prismatic Spring in Yellowstone, or, you know, they go to these places and they, that's pretty.
They look so beautiful and so enticing.
I have a hot tub at home. I like that.
Yeah. I was telling Kathy years ago when we, you know, my wife and I took a trip to Vancouver, they fly you up to a glacial lake, which is, and they don't just drag you, where you're screaming, what are you doing? You have to actually sign up for the trip and they'll take you up there. But it was the most beautiful, pristine, clean, clear lake. I didn't have a bathing suit, but you know, you could have gone into it. But I mean, I've never seen a more magnificent body of water.
Yeah, I was one time in, was headed to Jackson Hole. I was driving down from Yellowstone, and the Grand Tetons are there. So I stopped in Teton Park, and they have these reflective ponds at the base of these mountains.
Oh, wow. Can you swim in them?
Just so amazing. I'm sure you can.
Can you throw your garbage in there?
But I'm standing there, and it was September, and the water is, and I was by myself, and nobody was there in the water. You could see right to the bottom, and I thought about just stripping down to my underwear and jumping in, but it was, you know, the water's like 60 degrees.
And right this way is the reflective.
Exactly. all right, there's a place, and we got to wrap this up in just a second, in South Central Texas called Jacob's Well.
Is that number two?
Yes, it's one of the cooler lakes, and its waters are crystal clear. If you wanted, you could look straight to the bottom. But it has a system of tunnels and caves beneath it.
Oh, cool.
Which enable you to explore the depths in ways not normally afforded to much lakegoers. But with the ample beauty comes danger. Many people, in other words, will embark into the depths and never come out.
Oh, so when my wife went to swim with the manatee down in Florida, in the, I forget, the Crystal Springs or whatever it is down there. I don't know the exact name of it, but it's where a lot of it, you can go and swim and bask with the manatee. You dive down in the water, and there are similar, like, sort of caves and things.
Yeah.
And they have fencing over the openings, but the signs say clearly, proceed past this and you will die. Okay. I mean, it's that clear, and yet people still do it.
Well, you know, the really, and some of the ones that aren't even on this list are the places where surfers go. Casey Mavericks out in Northern California, or Bonsai Pipeline, North Shore of Oahu. There's caves underneath there and stuff. You know, you can get washed into that stuff and never find your way out.
You see the waves that push people into those caves. Oh. How would you get out of that?
It's unbelievable.
And then if the 100-year storm hits, like
that's what took Bodie, right?
50-year storm.
Hundred years.
Yeah.
50 extra years to get stronger.
So anyhow, it's an interesting article on dangerous places to swim in Science 101. But you do not want to go to New Jersey's largest lake. The Department of Environmental Protection has issued a warning because of harmful algae blooms that are taking place at Lake Hopatcong. I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but
it's up north of I-80 in the northern New Jersey mountains.
Gotcha. All right. Listen, we got to take ourselves a break, and we got to give away some beer. We have actually a few cases that we'll probably give away through the course of the morning. And I have a case of Yard Summer Crush. We'll take caller number 15 at 215-263-WMMR, and it's an easy drinking, flavorful wheat beer with a juicy citrus finish that's perfect to bring to every single summer celebration. Pick up a case of Summer Crush at Circle Liquor Store in Summers Point. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we will dive into that bizarre file for you. Stay put.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Actually, I have a little bit of breaking news. Marissa just handed me a case.
You have the... You want it?
Yeah, sure.
Right, I wasn't sure if you wanted that.
Well, yeah, why not?
Breaking news.
Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses hospitalized after stabbing himself.
Oh, I just saw this, yeah.
Now, I don't know the nature of this. It was treated for a stab wound to his stomach and not life-threatening from what they understand at TMZ. And it says the wound appears to be self-inflicted. Now, that can mean an accident, too. But
it absolutely can mean an accident, but he's had issues. I know Kathy and I always talk about how we were big fans of his because on the Sober House and the other one was
Celebrity Rehab, right?
Yeah.
You got to like him. You saw his personality, at least on the show, and he was just such a nice guy.
And he was fighting back from a mother who just effed him up.
And he had a true problem, but, you know, on the inside, he was a real nice guy.
Yeah. He got screwed over in the band, too, so, oh, man, I hope he's doing okay. But we've had him on the show before, and he's a sweet guy. He's had a stroke. He's had some issues. His speech is a little bit messed up. But so anyhow, I just thought I'd pass that along. Hopefully he's going to be okay. All right, we need to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Godshall's, and you can cook out and eat lighter with Godshall's real meat, real wood smoked turkey bacon. 80% less fat than pork bacon, and all the rich, smoky flavor. Discover hundreds of recipes at Godshall's.com. A 40-year-old driver has been killed after his camper, like an RV, sped up a ferry terminal ramp, hurtled through the air, over the water, and slammed down on a departing ship's deck.
Whoa. You've got to see this footage. You saw it, Preston, right?
I saw the leftovers of it. I did not watch the video.
There is live footage of this jump, and this thing comes crashing down. I'm amazed only the driver's dead.
And you said it was an RV?
Yeah. And it was a mechanical problem. This guy wasn't crazy.
Yeah, footage exists. If you guys, here it is. Look at it.
Yeah, we'll go through this because it's pretty unbelievable what happened. And they're actually calling this guy a bit of a hero because it was out of control and he managed to avoid hitting people.
And
he goes off this ramp and flies up over the water. The ferry is leaving.
Oh my gosh.
And it lands Oh my God. And Steve, that had to have cleared, I don't know, 80 feet.
80 feet?
Something like that.
The driver survived?
No. But to Preston's point, he's saying that they believe he might very well have directed it to the edge of the ferry because there are people right to the side of it that managed to avoid getting killed.
So his name is Eric Bellick, who's from Quebec. He was pulled from the wreckage of the RV and rushed to the hospital. He died hours later. A female passenger was alive and remains in critical condition. The footage shows the moment the vehicle soared over the edge of the ramp at the bottom of a steep hill, reportedly due to mechanical failures. It came to a stop only as it collided with the edge of the boat, which was on its way across the Saguenay River. A witness on the scene confirmed that no passenger on the ferry were injured in the crash. Bellick was hailed as a hero for maneuvering the runaway vehicle to avoid injuring others on its doomed route down the exceptionally steep Highway 138. Video shows several cars and a small crowd of people gathered on the deck as the ferry motors through the water roughly 30 feet from the loading ramp. So it was a little closer than that, but 30 feet still.
It looks a lot further in the video.
Which the vehicle's owners had just used to get their cars aboard the vessel. Racing along the steep highway, a white camper can be seen approaching the loading ramp and does not appear to slow down. It seemed to be that the brakes had gone out, and the man honked to warn people down the coast. The camper then suddenly shoots up the ramp and into the air above the river before plummeting down onto the edge of the ferry's parking deck. The passengers can be seen sprinting out of the way a split second before the crash, and it's shattered into smithereens. Observers have praised his heroic actions, which are believed to have prevented a much worse accident. He was honking his horn. He was trying to stop by swerving into the metal gates on either side of the road. He was trying to wreck the thing before he got there. And in the wake of this crash, the mayor of the town vowed to improve that highway because apparently they've had issues with it before.
How many times have you just sort of in your mind said, I wonder if I could make that jump?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's a vehicle this size.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
That it made it that far, but it's messed up. So unfortunately, a guy passed away. In New Haven, a reported suspicious item found at the Superior Court building on Wednesday turned out to be non-dairy creamer. The fire department, city, and state police responded to investigate the package. They described the item as a suspicious envelope found outside. The area had been deemed safe approximately 2 hours later.
It smells like French vanilla.
They had to shut down the streets around it, but it was non-dairy creamer. I don't know if it was one of the cases where somebody just put, you know, like a powder
to
scare people because you never know. Ricin or something like that.
They're saying cocaine is back on the uptick.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it's coming into vogue again.
All right. Ontario's medical regulator is seeking to revoke the license of a doctor who was showing naked photos of himself to 11 patients and 3 staff members.
Look at that penis.
Last year, the discipline committee found Dr. Nigel Mark Phipps committed professional misconduct when he displayed the nude pictures of himself to patients, made remarks of a sexual nature and others, and touched at least one patient in a sexual manner.
Jeez.
It also found the family's physician's behavior in showing similar photos to staff members rose well above the level of unacceptable and disgraceful, dishonorable, and unprofessional conduct. His case was adjourned for months while he sought treatment for medical issues, but in a hearing Wednesday, lawyers for the college asked the committee to impose several penalties available. And they have said that he should be suspended from practicing medicine for a year. But he was just going around showing pictures of his naked self.
Ed, 1 to 10. Give me a rating on my scrotum.
Yeah, just out of curiosity. What do you think? Let's see. A retiree accused of chanting death by fire to a neighbor she believed to be a witch.
Wow.
Was ordered to leave court after she told Jesus to kill her. Yeah.
You're going to have to leave now.
Leonora Joseph, 76 years old, and her son Mark, 56, were convicted. They were convinced that Samantha Ginsburg had cast a spell on her, which made her ill. The born-again Christians also called the victim's 7-year-old daughter a witch in a campaign of harassment. The pair harassed Ms. Ginsburg by chanting death by fire, death to Samantha, and by turning up their television to maximum volume.
So was there anything at all to indicate, or anything that she had done to indicate she'd placed, or what did they base the spell thing on?
Mrs. Joseph claims that she was left partially paralyzed by one of Ms. Ginsburg's spells.
Well, she's clearly a witch.
Yeah. The prosecutor said...
Let me tell you, paralysis just doesn't happen.
In essence, she has a child who suffers from autism, and the Josephs believe that the child is possessed by witches.
Mm.
There's been a course
all
behavior...
deeply rooted in science.
Which involves shouting what can only be described as incantations from the Bible against her. Ms. Ginsburg...
Or ordering a pizza.
Said the pair who lived in the flat below hers would break into threatening chants at all hours of the day or night. Ms. Ginsburg said they believe that I'm a witch and that I am teaching my daughter to be a witch. Last year, sometime they started chanting in the middle of the night. She heard chants of death by fire and calls for an angel to slay them.
You know, it's so many times, though, it's the neighbor that calls for your death because they believe you're a witch that ends up being your best friend.
It can happen. They would go from room to room underneath it. She said the other thing they would say is, we know you're a witch. You will face justice. The pair also confronted her on the street while she was walking her young daughter to school and shouted abuse at her. So police eventually spoke to the Josephs. The harassment continued. And in court, Mrs. Joseph repeatedly muttered Jesus and phrases under her breath from the moment Ms. Ginsburg walked into the court, despite being told to stop. And after that, she said that Jesus kill her. She said that, and then the judge
what did Jesus
said,
say?
You got to get out. Jesus didn't say anything.
It's Jesus.
Yeah. Shaking her head as she stepped out, Mrs. Joseph told the judge, God be your judge.
Now I've got to go.
Yeah. And now I got
laundry.
Got to leave. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Brad Williams, scheduled to be here, is going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. So hang on, folks. We'll get him in just a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. There are two shows. You know what? Tomorrow night, the early show is sold out.
So there you go. 10 o'clock. Tickets are going fast.
I am not surprised at all that his show is sold out because he is amazing. He's hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Williams is here.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing,
Good
man?
To be back. What happened to Philadelphia since I left last? I'm gone a year. I come back. There's bamboo everywhere. What's happening?
Oh, you know the superstition now, right?
Yeah, like so you guys lost 39 games in a row, and then some rookie comes in with a bamboo plant, and now you guys all are like, you win four, and now you're like, it's bamboo fever.
Do you know the story, though?
It's
apparently not bamboo.
What is it?
Well, he thinks it's bamboo. We had a guy, we had some dude who was a horticulturist or something called in and said it's actually a lily plant of some type. So, whatever.
Not
man.
Not a good story. No, you want bamboo. Yeah. You know, like you leave, you come back. Philly's the most blue collar town in America.
Right.
You come back, and now it's just a giant Japanese rock garden.
I don't know
crazy.
If you're a huge sports fan, and
He's a massive fan.
I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but like the bamboo thing, it's cute.
Yeah.
But we won four games against a really bad team.
It's like you beat the Mets. You beat the Mets. It's like, congratulations, you got the silver medal in the Special Olympics. It's not. And now you guys are playing the Marlins next. It's like, okay, so you went from the amputee to the guy with Downs. Fantastic.
Wow.
Fantastic. That's Brad Williams talking. You can send all the hate mail to Brad Williams. That was not Preston and Steve. The views of Brad Williams do not necessarily reflect those of Preston.
You already come
Steve.
With your preamble.
I do.
There you go.
I have to. See, but that's the thing is, here's the thing. When I make jokes about people that have disabilities, never the person with the disability gets mad at me.
Well, there you go.
Ever.
There you go.
It's always the person who knows the person with a disability. It's always the person who is like, my son.
Do you get extra? You get extra firepower because you are a person of smaller stature.
Yes, I'm a dwarf, midget, person, short stature, and I know it's my voice. You can't tell. I'm not on the radio like, oh, well, plus and stuff. I'm so not called them. Woohoo! I don't sound like that. But yes, I get a little more leeway because it's really hard to get mad at the dwarf who's making jokes.
Do you ever have someone get pissed off at you and then not realize that you are? And then you see them like...
Yeah, on the radio that happens because, like I said, I don't sound like... And then they come like, how dare... Well, how would you like it if you have a disability? It's like, I can't wear adult clothes. I gotta pick up chicks with Bob the Builder on my T-shirt. All right, yes, I know what it's like. I understand it. People that have disability have a great sense of humor because it's a coping mechanism. It's,
right.
If you struggle, you usually have a good sense of humor. If you don't struggle, you're not funny.
Years ago, there was a comedian, a blind comedian. I don't know if he continued working or whatever the deal was, but this guy he played the blindness thing crazy.
Yeah.
And not just in the act. He was and he'd always get laughs from everyone because he could just get away with murder.
Oh, yeah. If you're blind, you can touch boobs all day. Fantastic. You know what I mean? I did a show a few weeks ago, and there's a guy in the audience, and he was in a wheelchair, and he didn't have any legs, right? And I immediately started making fun of him.
Right.
And he laughing. You can tell he's laughing because the chair was moving back and forth real fast.
Right.
And the audience got mad. And one dude stood up. He's like, stop making fun of him. What if he gets mad at you? And I was like, I'll run up some stairs. I'm not worried. This guy's not going to do it. He's not a threat. So, it's always people that don't have the ailment that I'm talking about that get mad.
You did the Degenerates.
Yeah, Netflix.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's just people going hardcore. Was that good? Because I know people are familiar with you, on one level. But you were able to kind of really just go full bore.
Well, yeah. When you're doing a show with Big Jay Oakerson and Joey Diaz and Christina P. Yamanika Sanders. Oh, my God. You really have to, I had to dirty my set up.
Do you know what's funny, though? Because Big J, I thought, and I think Casey and I talked about this, he sort of reeled it back.
Except for one joke. In fact, because my wife, and I told Jay at one of the Sixers playoff games, I go, hey, man, I go, my wife hates you, right? And he got a real kick out of that. But he does a joke about his... about his daughter.
Right. And it's hilarious.
Seeing a certain part of her body for the first time.
Yeah. Yes. And my wife took major offense to this. But I know Jay and his daughter, I didn't take offense to it.
Yeah.
And but my wife did, and sure. you know, some people can, and some people can't.
But the whole conceit of the show is you're gonna get the hardcore stuff.
It's called The Degenerates. It's not called Happy Fun Time Comedy. Like, no, it's The Degenerates.
Right,
I'm always fascinated by the people that listen to shows or watch shows, whether it be TV, movie, stand up, radio, whatever. And like it's in the title, like. It's like, would you watch Game of Thrones and be like, they stab someone with a sword?
Yeah.
It's like, this is the show.
Yeah.
is what the show is.
Are you still surprised that people get straight out offended by comedy in general? Because to me, like, you're coming to this you should come into comedy, at least in my humble opinion, with an open mind about stuff.
Yes.
Like, you're there to laugh. So why waste the energy on getting offended by a joke?
Yeah, because there's only two appropriate reactions to a joke. Ha ha, no ha ha.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah.
And then if there's no ha ha, that's fine. You don't have to like every joke, but especially in a stand-up comedy routine, there's another joke coming. Just wait. See if you like the next one.
I got to tell you of a ha ha that you provided me. There was there's a clip. I guess you guys doctored it. It's from Willow. It's you playing Willow and Bert Kreischer as the baby.
Yes.
And I've not seen it.
Adam Ray as Val Kilmer.
Yeah, it's on my Instagram.
It's freaking hilarious.
At Brad Williams Comic. There's this guy, he's a fan, and he does like amazing Photoshops.
But
he puts our faces on everything. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like the amount, like I thought that I was the funniest person. Some of my fans are way funnier than me. They just don't do stand-up. It's crazy.
This guy, Adam Ray, I don't know why I haven't been familiar with him. Was he on the Lost in Space series on Netflix?
No. Adam is my co-host on the About Last Night podcast.
Is he an actor as well?
Yeah. He was in the movie The Heat, and he was the bad guy in that film. And, there's the clip. I know it's great radio when I say there's the clip. he's a great actor. He was on the revival of Mad TV and a bunch of stuff.
Okay,
and,
okay.
Yeah, it's just really cool when fans take that much time to put that. Here's how bad I am. It's my face on Willow, and I go, hey, Willow, I remember this movie. Like, I didn't even realize it was my face because dwarves all look alike.
Do you ever get hit up for, do scripts come your way for?
Yeah. And
what's the most bizarre you've gotten sent your way?
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, you had when the Hervé Villechaize story was being done, right?
Well, yeah, because that's Dinklage, though.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
He produced it.
Dinklage is the top guy. I hate Peter Dinklage. It's strictly jealousy. It has nothing to do with him as a person. He's probably a delightful human being, but he's in everything. If they made a movie and called it The Brad Williams Story, it would be starring Peter Dinklage. It's madness.
What's the craziest thing you've been offered? Yeah.
Well, the craziest thing I was ever offered, and I actually did it. So this one dude wrote me and said, hey, I'm doing a horror film and I need you to be like a monster or whatever.
Really?
And I was like, all right, cool. And I had to sit in the chair. They put the mold all around me. You have to sit there for however many minutes.
It's claustrophobic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so the mold sets. It's really kind of scary. And then you do it. And then he goes, okay, this could be the monster mold. And I did the film. It's like some low budget independent.
Yeah.
It's nothing anyone's seen. What I didn't know is that the guy took the mold and sold it to somebody who turned me into a sex toy.
No Are you way. Kidding?
That is
There's a
real,
Brad Williams okay. sex doll?
Yes. Well, not anymore because I sued them.
Were you
That's
flattered?
Unbelievable.
Were you slightly flattered?
Slightly flattered, but like, dude, it was freaky because someone gave me the website.
Did you get one at least before you sued him? Because you could literally go F yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My wife could have something to do while I was gone. But yeah, like, I looked at this website. It was me.
Oh, my God.
And I just thought to myself, like, how weird is this going to be if someone on the street who bought this sees me walking the other way and just goes, whoa, like, and just like has this weird reaction. I'm like, why are you acting like that? He's like, I usually put my penis somewhere on you. Like, that's
Like, that's great.
Was it being marketed as Brad Williams? Or?
No, I'm sure not. Yeah.
No, it was marketed as, like, a midget sex toy. Like, this is how you could bang a dwarf.
And what
I'm
just a whirlwind.
Like, yeah, I'm just like, wow. So, yeah, I had to get my legal team involved in that. Oh,
Brad, what were they going for, do you know? I'm just curious.
It was, like, $125. It was, like, an expensive sex toy.
Wow.
It was pretty nuts. And then you can order one, and then you could dress it up in different outfits. And I'm like, oh, my God. Someone. And this was, like, before I had my beard. So, in my head, I'm like, pedophiles are getting this.
Right.
This is like their training wheels.
Right.
This is like what they're using to start off to work their way up to the real thing. And I'm like, oh God, this is horrible. This is so bad. But yeah, people were monsters. Like I was looking at these dolls just going like, wow, someone's carved a hole out of that mouth, or worse, and just gone to town on that thing. It's madness.
You posted a video. Nick has it here on Instagram right now, and it says, quick stop in Vegas. They thought I was Dinklage, and I got a VIP table.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
They seriously thought you were Peter Dinklage.
Yes, because it's...
And you go ahead and ride it, right?
It was a nightclub, and I walked in. It was my friend's birthday. She has she's well endowed upstairs.
Yeah.
And she paid for him. And, so I had a lot of girls with me. There's only, like, two dudes. And, like, they saw me, and one person said Dinklage. It's a nightclub. It's dark. Yep. It's strobe lights.
Why not?
Someone said Dinklage, and they're like, oh, Dinklage is here. People start running around, like, going, like, ah, Dinklage is here. Dinklage is here. And then they get me a table. They bring out the bottles of vodka. There's streamers going everywhere. There's the photo.
That's great.
That's freaking hilarious. You don't care? Do you start sweating bullets? They're going to give you the bum's rush if they find out.
Dude. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Take it all away?
Exactly. You didn't start it.
Yeah, you didn't start it.
I didn't say anything. But, like once they say, I'm Dinklage, you're Dinklage, I just start going, yes, I drink and I know things.
Right.
Like, I'll start doing the lines. I don't care. Well, like, I told the story on This Is Not Happening, but this is a real story. I once was asked to play in a charity golf tournament, and I thought, absolutely, great. I'll go play in the charity golf tournament. And I do, and they had these golf carts that had the names of all the celebrities on the golf carts. So I'm walking, and it's like, it's Bill Engvall was in it, and like some guy from Greece, not John Travolta, so who the hell cares? And then I see my golf cart. It says Wee Man on the golf cart. It says Wee Man on the golf cart, and at first I was pissed, and then the group I was playing with start walking towards me, going, "Oh, we're so glad we got Wee Man. All our friends got lame celebrities. We got Wee Man." I'm like, "Oh God, now I got it."
Yep.
Now I can't be like, "Yeah, you actually did get a lame celebrity." Like, so I faked it. I faked being Wee Man because I thought, these guys are giving a lot of money to charity.
Sure.
Let's make sure they have a good time. So like I faked it. I started saying it was Wee Man. Then we get to this hole that's sponsored by Hooters. Because if you play in these charity golf tournaments, there's all these the holes that are sponsored by different restaurants, corporations, whatever. So the hole is sponsored by Hooters. It's a bunch of girls. They're the Hooters girls. They have the wings and beer and stuff. And we walk up, and this Hooters waitress sees me and goes, "That's not Wee Man."
Wow.
And everyone, and I'm like, wait, no, I'm Wee Man. Like, yeah, because now this has gone down to like 12, 14 holes. I can't like just suddenly turn around. So I'm like, no, what are you talking about? I'm Wee Man. And she goes, no, that's not Wee Man. I had sex with Wee Man.
Oh, God.
You are not Wee Man. And I'm like, what? So I run up to her.
Oh, my God.
I grab her by the wrist, and I kind of explain to her the situation. And I'm like, hey, I know I'm not Wee Man. Yeah. These guys are doing it for charity. Think I am. The freaking charity thought I was.
Yeah.
Like, so it's on them. This is not me trying to do this. Just play along. And then I peeled her off like $40, because when you give $40 to a Hooters waitress, they'll do anything. So,
what, did she immediately, was she receptive to it, or did you have to work her?
She immediately flipped around and was like, oh, okay, totally get it. And she's like, oh, never mind, I was wrong, Wee Man. And I thought, kudos to her.
Yeah.
Because she's, first of all, she blatantly just yelled out in front of a group of strangers, I had sex with a midget. And then a few minutes later says it to the same strangers, I had sex with a midget and forgot which midget it was.
So that's kudos to her.
Yeah, that's worth $40.
That's worth $40 just for that moment. But then,
oh my god,
here's the best part.
All right,
it's not done. Here's the best part. I like, so now the problem is solved, and now my the guys are like all teeing off, and I go to the back, and I kind of go to her, and go, hey, so you had sex with a wee man? And she goes, yeah, had sex with a wee man. And she goes, hey, you came in the restaurant. He chatted me up, and it was good. I recognized him, and then we had a little fun. And then she goes, here, I'll show you a picture. And she busts out the picture, and she shows me the picture. And I look at the picture, and I go, that's my dwarf friend, Sean.
Oh, no, yes! That's not wee man.
That's not wee man.
She did not have sex with wee man. She had Brilliant. Sex with Sean.
That's great.
I immediately called Sean. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Like, did you have sex with the whole dude? It's like, yeah, that was a great night, wasn't it? I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh, that's a dude, real
that's
story.
That's effing hilarious.
Oh that's a real story. I could not tell her. I could not tell her because you know that she's been bragging about
sure.
this. She shows this photo.
Oh my
but
God.
The thing is like how many people she showed the photo to? Because some people have to know that there are more than two little people on the planet.
Just like the odds.
Some people have got, someone has got to tell her like, wow, Wee Man's lost a lot of weight. Or he's about a foot and a half smaller than I thought he was. Like, someone had to say something at some point, right?
If you're just jumping in, Brad Williams is sitting with us in the studio. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, 7:30 and 10 tomorrow night. There's only one show, 10 o'clock, that has tickets left. Now, you mentioned your wife. If I recall, don't you guys have an open relationship of sort?
Not exactly open, but we did meet on a threesome app.
But people don't know Brad. Brad has an extensive and smorgasbord like sexual history.
Yeah, well,
and we live vicariously through you. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If there's a tall woman willing to have sex with a little person, it's never going to be missionary with eye contact. They're going to want some things. Yes. You know, they're going to want... I've dressed in some outfits I'm not proud of. You know, like, you got to do some stuff. But then I was in San Francisco, California. Someone... told me about an app that's at the time was called Thrinder. Then Tinder sued them. Now it's called Field, F-E-E-L-D. You're welcome. and they said it's like Tinder for threesomes. And I was like, done. Yeah. So I go on this thing. I match with two women. We're all going to go out. One of the women doesn't show up for whatever reason. And I went on a date with just the other one. And the other one happened. I married her a year and a half later. Because when you find a hot Asian that loves three ways, you lock that down.
Yes.
That's never getting
isn't
better.
Isn't she like a martial arts badass, too?
Yeah. She's a fourth Dan black belt in Taekwondo. At one point, ranked number two in the nation.
Whoa.
Jesus.
Yeah. So
so she's your bodyguard,
so
too.
Don't heckle me, is what I'm trying to say.
Has she ever stepped up? Got into a fight?
Twice. Twice that I've seen.
What is that like when your woman goes
the hottest thing ever. Nothing beats a dude who, like, one time it happened in Vegas. I told the story on The Degenerates where a guy was hitting on her. She said, "Hey, I'm here with my at the time fiance."
Yeah.
And he's like, and the guy called her a really nasty name.
Yeah.
that rhymes with the runt of the litter.
Oh, and, there you go. That's the nuclear bomb.
Yeah. And without hesitation, just one kick, out.
Wow.
Done.
Wow.
Done. Knocked out. And then the second time was it's funny because I can actually say the name of the comedy club because it's also a Helium comedy club, so I'm not getting any press to anyone else. It was at a Helium comedy club in Buffalo, New York. Now, if you've ever been to Buffalo, first of all, why? Secondly, you know that if just YouTube Buffalo Bills fans, Bills Mafia, will see another reason why you should never go to Buffalo. So I was there, and this dude was like, I mentioned something. He was drunk. He misheard me, but then he wouldn't. Like, when I corrected him, he didn't accept it. He's like, no, you said this thing. I'm like, ah, damn it. So it got to the point where I was making fun of him, but there comes to a point sometimes with a heckler where it's like, okay, now you have to leave because I've done all I can. Like, I've made fun of you. I've gotten, like, two applause breaks. Everyone's laughing at you, but you're still not leaving.
We're moving on.
Yeah, and the bouncer was coming over to get him. Before the bouncer got there,
ninja wife who happened to be there that weekend. You see her scurry, because ninjas scurry, and she scurries, and all of a sudden, dude, choked this guy out.
Wow. Kidding.
This guy is Bill's Mafia, jacked to the, like, he's, and choked him out. And I've never done a show with a full erection before.
Yeah.
But that night I was like, this is so hot.
That is pretty wild.
So hot. Like, I, like, yeah.
She's like, an Avenger.
Yeah. She is. She's the freaking Black Widow. And it's funny because she's actually here this weekend. She came to the shows this weekend because I have some family in Philly that love her. And yeah, we all want to hang out together. So, yeah. Don't heckle me this weekend.
Really? You know, see if you can find a threesome to get going while you're here.
Yeah, we may. We may already have one.
What does that app again?
Field, F-E-E-L-D, and now that's the sound of tires screeching on the highway.
Do you like hecklers?
No.
You hate them, okay.
Nobody likes hecklers.
Well, but you're good at it, so that's the only reason I'm asking, because sometimes it does provide fodder for the show.
Sure.
And it can be fun. Like, Rogan, I think, likes occasionally engaging with hecklers because he's so good at dismantling them.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes I'll get a heckler, and then they'll come up to me after the show and be like, I really helped you out. It's no, you didn't.
That's the worst.
I was good. You're that guy that sees Joel Embiid block a shot and go, hey, you blocked that shot because I was in the 90th row chanting, defense, defense. And you thought to yourself, well, maybe I should play some defense. Like, no. They were good.
I think
you didn't help. And, like, if you heckle me, you're not helping. I'm just that good where I spun your poop into gold, okay? That's what I was able to do. So, no, don't. But at the same time, it's Philly, so I'm kind of expecting it.
Well, you know, but Helium, good clubs know how to step in and stop it. Helium's a good club, so they know what to do. And the truth of the matter is that I don't care. Even the most proficient crowd people in the world, you have material prepared.
Yeah.
You don't want to be derailed. You don't want to have to tend to some a-hole.
Yeah.
And
also, however good or however funny you think you are, I'm sorry, I'm funnier.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a living for 15 years.
Yep.
I'm really good at my job. So don't think you're going to come in and be like, oh, no, I'm going to call him a leprechaun. He's going to have no comeback for that.
Really?
You don't think I can? All right. Go ahead and try and watch what happens when your girlfriend leaves you for me and my wife tonight.
Yeah. By force.
Yeah.
You can make it happen by force.
By force. Do you really want a tiny Asian woman to beat you up in front of all your friends? Because that will happen tonight. That will happen if you heckle me.
That's too funny.
You gonna play golf while you're in town at all?
I'm not.
You're a big golfer.
I know. I'm not gonna play. I got the wife here. I can't be like, all right, deuces.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of you guys at Pebble. Did you go to the Open?
We didn't go to the Open. We were there the week before. And
were you playing as you or Wee Man?
That's called a callback, kid. That's why he's a professional. That's why you guys have been on the air forever. I was there doing a gig, and I was just in San Francisco, and we thought we'd take some time and go over to Pebble and pretend like we're rich. So yeah, there's the photo. You have it up. It's on my Instagram. It's of my wife and my giant 70-pound pit bull. I sleep in between a black belt and a pit bull.
Wow,
you're safe. Come at me, bro. Yeah.
You must have the most restful night's sleep.
It really is. It really is. I don't care.
How many times during the night you just go,
I'm good. I hear a noise, and I go, hey, wife, dog, check it out. Like, I don't do anything. I don't do nothing. My wife never looks at me and goes, can you see what that noise is? I'm like, no, you go do it.
I have this image of your wife riding on top of the pit bull down the stairs.
No, she doesn't ride the thing. I ride the thing. Are you kidding me? No, I ride the thing. I got a saddle. Works out.
Where'd you grow up, by the way?
Grew up in Orange County, California. I've only had two jobs. No, I've had three jobs in my life.
No kidding.
Stand-up comic. I started when I was 19. The only two jobs I had before that was I worked at Hot Topic.
Hot Topic.
Wow.
Oh, were you rocking a goth look?
Here's the thing. For those of you who don't know Hot Topic, obviously it's where like all it's like goth. It's like piercings. It's tattoos. It's stuff like that. I showed up and dressed like an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog, and they're like, dwarf, that's weird enough.
Right.
So,
hired.
I was hired. Yeah. There's like some body modification guys who are like, how'd you do that to your arms? I'm like, God. That's how I pulled that one off. I worked at Hot Topic, and then because I grew up in Orange County, I worked at Disneyland. No, not one of the seven. My actual job was better than that. My actual job at Disneyland, this is absolutely true. I worked as a bodyguard for the characters. So I'd walk around with Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and if a five-year-old steps on a line, you got to be like, what's up, bitch? And you throw a little forearm shiver. It's fantastic. It was a great job.
I had a girlfriend I dated went and had a part-time job at Disney at one point, and part of her job was to be an autograph hound. Are you familiar with that?
No, what's this?
Wait, job?
A job. Yeah, she was an intern there for a position. But anyhow, that was one of the positions was autograph hound. So they would have, like, mid-level celebrity who might be in the park at that point.
Now I know what you're talking about.
They'd say the person's going to be at this place at this time.
Yep.
You come up and start making a fuss. Oh, my God. It's
Wee Man.
It's Joyce DeWitt.
Joyce DeWitt.
Can I get your autograph? And it starts to cause a little bit of a buzz of people around them, and people start to surround.
Why? Yeah.
To show the crowd of Disney being this place where everybody goes, even the famous people.
The actual job title that you're talking about is a job title that's called VIP host. And they do that. These are the same people that take Johnny Depp and his family to the very front of the line. So they don't have to worry about it. Right. And
you do that?
I didn't do that, but I was in the room when certain celebrities would walk in.
All right, who was the most pompous? Who was the most demanding?
Oh, God.
Do it.
Go ahead.
Do it.
Say it. Because
I might work with them at some point.
Well, who?
What does it rhyme with?
Joyce DeWitt.
That bitch.
No, all right. You know,
who was the kindest? Who was the most generous?
Aforementioned Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp was
nicest, kindest, most wonderful person, and like and I know that article came out about him and
Amber Heard,
Rolling Stone with all the Amber Heard stuff, and I don't know what he's doing now. I don't know what his life is, but I can tell you in that microcosm of a moment where I met him and I heard about it all throughout the park. All at the park, everyone in the park was like, oh, my God, how nice was Johnny Depp? So, like, yeah, I will say the good ones. And he is amazing.
Did you have – I'm fascinated by – we're all fascinated. Listen, Disney rules the world. But I was fascinated by the fact, the concept that there are these subterranean get-to tunnels.
That's more of an Orlando thing.
Right. Oh, okay.
That's not so much in Anaheim. There's one tunnel. And that's it.
One tunnel.
Just one. It's not a big thing. But, it's a whole infrastructure. It shouldn't surprise people that there's tunnels. It's a city. They have their own police department. They have their own, fire department. They have all these ways of getting in, getting out. Because the whole thing with Disney is you can never know that you're not in Disneyland. You can never know that... Right. That you're in the real world. So yeah, there's ways to get people in, out. If someone's acting up, gone.
Have you gone back for the Star Wars stuff and all that? Do you get like a life?
No, I wish I
card
did.
Or anything.
Yeah, like that? No, but I'll go back for the Star Wars stuff. Hell, some people half the people in the thing will probably think I'm part of the part of the attraction. Oh, there's an Ewok. No, I just haven't shaved in a few days. Shut it. But yeah, I'm very excited. I'm a nerd, like we all are.
Sure,
One of you does figurines.
I do, me.
You okay? Yeah. Yeah. So you're really in the nerd culture.
I'm into massive. We all are. We all except for Kathy.
Not all of us.
Yeah.
What's your thing, Kathy? What?
Threesomes. She's on that.
What makes you happy, Kathy? What?
Yoga.
Yoga.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, listen, I'm not an earthy you pray to the sun.
All right, that's good.
Arts and crafts. She likes craft stuff.
Okay. It's at least you didn't say vegan. I mean, come on.
No, that
would have been but then I know you're not a vegan because I've been in the room for now 20 minutes and you haven't mentioned it. So
right.
That's why I know you're not. out a vegan. Wow, does that come up quickly.
You're right.
You can be like, oh, man, Trump's crazy, right? I'm a vegan. Didn't ask that. Bamboo plants. You can eat bamboo. I'm a vegan.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, we got to wrap it up. Brad is going to be at Helium Comedy. One show is already sold out. Get your tickets before they all sell out, all right? There's two tonight, 7:30 and 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's late show is open, so there's some seats available for the 10 o'clock show. 7:30 sold out, so get them now at heliumcomedy.com. Always having a great buy here, man.
Thank you very much. You guys are the best. Love you.
Thanks so much. Brad Williams, everybody. Yeah. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay where you are.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists. You got some change inside your
pocket, but it doesn't change. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
For our guests, we always try to find some interesting facts about them, and our next guest claims that Delta Airlines has the best butterscotch pudding that there is.
He might be right.
Just thought I'd share that.
If you're a butterscotch pudding fan, then you know it's good.
Is it the Borgata in AC coming up on July 5th? Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Jim Norton.
Yeah!
He's on the line. Hey, Jim.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you for not playing a clip. There's nothing worse than when you're coming on a show and they play a clip of your stand-up. It's humiliating. And I appreciate you guys not doing that. You have to listen to yourself. And the hosts are like, that was great. And you know, it's a clip that sucked. So I appreciate you not doing it.
No, our pleasure.
Have you ever had where they pick one that you just absolutely are like, oh, why did they pick that one?
Yes, every clip they play. I hate listening to myself. Did you see Colin Quinn on The Tonight Show the other night?
Yeah, I heard he was great.
He did the bit. He did a bit to Jimmy, and then they didn't know. They played the exact same bit from his special right after it.
Oh.
So Jimmy throws to a clip. He goes, we're gonna play a clip. And it's the exact same joke Colin just did. So, yeah, it's humiliating to have to watch this stuff in front of
You know what I love that you do, Jimmy? I follow you on Twitter, and you do I think it's Fat Jimmy Fridays. You take a clip of you in your heavier days. You're in good shape now. And just the framing of it just cracks me up. The material's all great. But, you know, we have pictures. Everyone has a point in their life when they look back and they go, Jesus Christ, what the hell was I? And just the juxtaposition of really sharp comedy with a wholly other Jim Norton is just hilarious. So are you getting
thanks, man. A
good response from that, or just a way to read? Go ahead.
So basically, it's me just trying to like put stuff on Instagram. It's really pathetic. I'm 50 and I'm like trying to catch up, and I'm acting like a teenage girl on Instagram. Oh, look at my new videos! Yeah, it's helping people sell tickets, so I started doing it, and it actually helps sell tickets. So one of the themes was Andrew Schultz said to me, because I was so fat. I had like an 8-year period where I was just like a real pig. And I knew I was fat when I was doing Tough Crowd, and me and Nick DiPaolo had an argument. And he was mad at me, and he goes, you fat ass! And the fact that he called me that, and that was the go-to insult, I'm like, I must really be fat if that's like naturally what he called me. So yeah, I had probably an 8-year period where I was just fat and disgusting.
Yeah, well, yeah, we all have those dark periods. I have to ask you, and I'm going to jump right to it. I saw you do your, we'll say is an alter ego, Chip Chipperson. And and you had, and I pointed this out to Preston a couple of days ago, you had Mason Reese on the show. Now, people may not know Mason Reese, but Mason Reese was this delightful little kid in like the 70s. And he was on all the different shows, and he would co-host on Mike Douglas. And he was just, everybody just thought he was adorable. He had a weird sort of Dutch haircut. And he's become this, I don't know what the hell is going on, but he's dating. I guess he has this sort of Sarah Rossi is like an Instagram model, and they have this relationship. What the hell is going on there with these two?
You know, the audio is out. The video will actually be up this Sunday. We split them by a week, so you can see them interacting together. They met on Facebook, I think, and he's older than her by like 28 years, which you have to respect. And he's a charismatic guy.
Is he?
A little odd. Yes, he looks like an armadillo, but he's a charismatic dude. He's got a good personality. I don't know. He might have a little money saved up, and they seem like they're legit. I just invited them. I'm having people over July 3rd, And I invited him and Sarah to come over with some friends, but they're going to be away. But they seem to have a decent relationship, and she does like adult modeling, which is fantastic.
So it's bizarrely legit, but Preston's shaking his head. No, it's not. In that realm, it seems to work for them, is what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. And I can't even criticize them because any girl I've ever slept with is at least 20 years younger than me, and they're way better looking than me. I'm ugly, and it's only my money. That's the only reason I ever had sex.
At least you acknowledge that. At least you realize that.
I have to. She acknowledges it to me first. I'm like, I know
you're doing. It's your version of a prenup.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So Borgata has a great room for comedy, and you do all sorts of venues. Do you like that vibe? Do you like a theater vibe?
I prefer it. Yeah, obviously, because people are coming there to see you. The Borgata's a weird. It's like any casino is weird. I just filled in. It's funny. I filled in for Dice in Iowa. He dropped out. He said he hurt his back. I have a very sneaky suspicion he just didn't want to take a connecting flight. Dice is so crazy. He'll cancel the connecting flight. I don't want to do it. He wants to stay in L.A. So I did this Iowa gig. It was a casino, and it's just an odd vibe because half the people are in a great mood because they're out, they're seeing a show, and the other half of the people are in a bad mood because they've been comped into the show because they just lost $50,000. So casinos are always strange, and the front of the room is always empty because the tickets are being held for high rollers. So casinos are fun gigs, right. But yeah. they always look like they're half sold.
Because it's the music. You're playing the performance room, right? It's not another room unbeknownst to me, right? It's the standard room there is actually a pretty good room. But you're saying it can be problematic sometimes.
Yeah, the Borgata is actually a really good one. But some of the casinos around the country, Iowa, not the best casino place. And the funny thing about the Borgata is there's two rooms. There's the event center, which is the one Bill Burr will do 8 shows at, and then there's the music box, which is where Jim Norton will go and do 1 show.
Hey, it's still a great show.
Yeah, it's a great show. Yeah, but it's the worst you can do is look at upcoming events because the last thing you want to do is see Lisa Lampanelli Event Center, July 8th through 24th, and you're doing 1 show. But I like the gig.
It's all good,
Jim. I wanted to ask you about a role you're going to be playing. A guy who can fill theaters no problem. This is going to be in The Irishman, and you're playing Don Rickles.
That's so wild!
How perfect is that? You didn't have to audition for this. I read.
Yeah, no. They said Scorsese watched a couple of my specials and went, oh, yeah, he could do it. And then I had to go in and meet with him.
Yeah.
Like, I went to his office in New York, and we sat down, and we just talked comedy. And he didn't ask me to do Rickles or be Rickles. He just said, okay, yeah, you got it. And I just hope they don't cut it out. Like, I always have to – I panic when I talk about it because I just know that I'm so excited about it. Mm. I just want to be in it for 5 seconds. I don't care. I did a little Rickles of his act, and De Niro and Pesci were in the scene. And Sebastian Maniscalco was in the scene. So I had to pause at one point while De Niro and Pesci did their dialogue. I'm just hoping that stays in.
Well,
I don't care if the rest of it.
I mean, that's freaky. So you're across the table from Martin Scorsese, who is a now you've been in your share of movies, and you know, it's not like you're a newbie to entertainment, but I know you're a massive fan, as are we all. Are you fighting to keep it in check, or how do you handle that?
It's weird. The day I went to meet him, I was in such a depression. I had a relationship that had collapsed. So I was in one of those things where I'm looking over my balcony. I'm like, just jump. And I'm like, oh, no, you can't. You got to go meet Scorsese.
Oh, yes, Scorsese. I got that coming up.
So I went. I wasn't even that nervous because I was in such a bad mental headspace.
Right.
It's one of those weird times that a bad thing works to your advantage because I was just comfortable and relaxed talking about it because I did not care. Afterwards, I look back on how amazing it was. But in that moment, I was so depressed that I functioned very well.
Well, Scorsese is legendary for seeing in people. I mean, he's basically discovered, Mean Streets was, De Niro and Harvey Keitel. And he's got that eye. Do you like the acting thing?
I do if I'm right for something. I'm twitchy. I blink a lot. I'm not a great actor. But if I like something, I think I can do a really good job. It has to be right for me. So this one I loved because all I was doing was Rickles lines. I mean, it was just fun to pay tribute to a guy. Because I met Rickles a few times. I've interacted with him. I did a Tonight Show with him. I didn't know him, but I had interacted with him enough to know that I do look like him naturally. There's something about me that reminds people of Rickles. I've heard it my whole career.
So your stuff is so sharp and funny, and You look at Rickles, though, and Rickles was just always in a class by himself. And I was watching old footage of him. And the fact that he would go out, now mind you, things would occur in audience situations, so it would be sort of unprepared, prepared, but he was so often really was just riffing. And does it blow your mind that he was able to go and just do that when you had like people like Sinatra on a dais, or you had, you know, and they were paneling with people, you know, mega heavy hitters, maybe the kind that we won't see anymore for forever, perhaps. And he was able to go out there and riff like that.
Dude, he was so fun. There's one if you watch where he roasts Clint Eastwood. It was some like industry event where it was everyone in Hollywood was there. Eastwood was there with his mother and his family. And Rickles stands up in the middle of the room. He's still at his table, and he just starts ripping Eastwood and everybody. But he was clean.
Yeah.
And he would make fun of you. But he was tasteful enough where he wouldn't humiliate you in front of your mother. Right. He was great, man. You ever see the Reagan? He did a Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Thing. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
Dude, Emmanuel Lewis, you know, who was Webster at the time, brings him on. And Rickles' opening line is, great, the only black guy that can't play basketball. Can you imagine if you did that? If you did that today, you did that in front of 5,000 people, in front of the president and the first lady. And he was all balls. He was just balls. Yeah. He was great.
Jim, you mentioned your age a little while ago. I know you got a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks. We're the same age. Yeah. You're going to turn 51. How was your 50th? Did you do any kind of a big celebration for that, a huge party or anything?
No, I hate my birthday, man. There's people who celebrate their birthday, and then there's people like me. I just curl up into a shell, and I feel old, and I'm finished. I hate my birthday.
Wow.
I don't celebrate it at all. I'll acknowledge it, but I hate it.
But okay. The difference is you hit a low point, and then you're meeting with Scorsese later on in the afternoon, yeah. So you have a nice balance.
That was one balance. Yeah. The other 8,000, I still have no balance to. I'm just, you know, depressed.
So, I'm thinking of Andy Kaufman when I think of the Chip character, this persona who is, bad taste comedy, which is very cool. So, when you run with this, or, I don't know how much you want to commit because, you know, Andy had his own separate characters. Is that just a good catharsis to get that side out of you?
You know, it's so, because your mind is working the same way. Like, you're thinking, like, the worst joke I can have or whatever, or the biggest joke. But there's something about it that's completely freeing, and I don't know why. I think it's because you can have the worst joke, and it's okay. Like, so basically, your mind is working the same as it normally works, but you don't have to edit out stucky jokes. You actually embrace them, and it's easier to find a bad joke than it is a good one.
Yeah, just turn around and point. Well, it's him. He's the one who did it, and it gives you plausible deniability.
Well, and I think Colin pointed out that Chip is the realest version of Jim Norton. That's the real Jim Norton. This whole thing you're hearing is a fraud. Chip is the real me.
Wow. It's all a lie.
Insecure idiot.
Well, we'll see the real Jim. I just want to tell everybody the Borgata. Atlantic City, July 5th is when that's taking place, and it's going to be, you know, a big party. It's on the holiday weekend, 8 o'clock, and there are tickets available at theborgata.com, so get them while they're available. It's always good to talk to you, Jim, man. Good luck with everything, and thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you, guys, man. I hope to I'll come in studio next time if it's possible. I'm just out of town now, but I really appreciate it.
Cool. No, love to have you here. Jim Norton, everybody. Yeah. Thank you, brother. TheBorgata.com. Get those tickets. May I plug something?
Yes!
I insist. I meant to do it earlier this morning in a primer time, but nonetheless, I want to invite everyone to come and see my rock and roll debut. With my band now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, appearing this weekend, the premiere performance of Saint.
I want to add that I asked for a sound effect, so every time I say Saint, I'm going to play this sound effect. It's live. Saint.
This Saturday.
What's the venue? Whitpain Tavern.
At the Whitpain Tavern.
In Bluebell, Pennsylvania.
Saint brings their rock and roll hell show.
How many shows? How many performances?
Three sets.
Three sets. All night long.
Starting at 9 o'clock. Get there early if you want to get dinner.
Great finger food.
Yes.
Wait, 3 sets starting at 9?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's such a late night for you.
I know it is, dude. Listen.
You'd be sleeping.
Here's
by
the deal. When I joined the band and I, we had practice and I go, yeah, I can do this. All right, let's give this a try. And then, like, we practiced a couple more times, and we were talking about their gigs, and they had talked about a gig they had done, like, a month before. I go, when did you guys wrap up? They said, oh, let's see. It was, like, around 1:30 or something like that. I go, oh, my God.
1:30?
I forgot how late that is. And I said, can we please find places that'll start at, like, 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that.
So. They'll be tie-tie.
Yeah.
You're on their website, Preston.
I know I'm on their website. I'm in the band.
No. For Pain Tavern, they're promoting that you're going to be there as well.
Oh, cool.
I'll tell you this. The funniest, most bizarre revelation, Preston, when I started doing morning radio, mm-hmm. was that I now wake up at the time I was routinely getting home.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And now I can't even think about going back to that way because I would die.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, listen, we're only going to play a show like once a month or something like that. That's the...
You only live once.
The idea. Right, man.
Kathy? No, you live every day. You only die once, Kathy.
Well, maybe there's that too.
Well, you know, ultimately, it's like when people say, would you ever go back to doing stand-up? That would kill me. Yeah. But in this case...
I can handle once a
couple
month.
Of now and then.
Yeah.
You know?
That's going to be it. So this is the first gig that that the four of us have played together. The bass player, Dave, is fairly new, too. He's only played one show with this group. So it's kind of a new group. So.
I'll tell you how I know. You're a damn good drummer,
Thank
A.
You,
B, you take music seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first started practicing with these guys, I asked you, I said, how is it? And you're like, yeah. You were not like, you know.
I've played with people before where I was, yeah, let's come over and jam. We get together, and I'm like, oh, no.
I know, because I've heard you say it.
No. It's like, hey, it's been fun.
Sorry, yeah.
Guys.
I gotta go.
We're good enough to have a good time, I think. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the Whip Pain Tavern tomorrow night in Bluebell. Our first set starts at 9 o'clock, and I think we're going to play 3 sets. So it'll be fun, and we play fun music. I think it's everything from Motley Crue to Chicago to Pink to Maroon 5 to Metallica to Elton John.
You guys play anything you feel like?
It's all over the place. We're like Ben FM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In fact, that should be the name.
Honestly, it's cool.
We're the Ben FM band.
That's what you're supposed to do in a bar gig like
but
that,
the,
right?
The way this was presented to me, Dave, who's the newest member of the group, he's like, dude, we're all guys around the same age. We're early 50s. We used to play in bands back in the day. We still have a hankering to do it just for fun. And the guy whose house we practice at is about 2 miles from your house. I'm like, all right, I'm in.
When was the last time you rocked but got home at a decent time?
Saint.
Dave.
It should be fun. It should be a good time. And we rehearsed again last night. So.
I was there that night. Saint played for the first time. I'll never forget. The drummer was exceptionally good. And the broccoli bites were extraordinary.
Actually, went by there the other day. I'd never been to the Whip Pain Tavern. So Rochelle and I popped in real quick.
I always hear about it.
They have more, it's more than just bar finger food. They
okay.
have like steaks and things like that. So, we grabbed a to-go menu to pretend like we were there to get a to-go menu.
Oh, really?
Scout out your location.
Scout the joint.
You can scout your location?
Were you walking around going, checking the acoustics?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Who is this guy?
Man.
But I do, listen, get there early because I have a drum solo in the first set.
Whoa!
Man,
so,
gotta be there for that.
It's very, very short. I mean, I know how
moves like Jagger.
I know how boring drum solos can be. No, we don't play that in Maroon 5.
You should put inappropriate lengthy drum solos into the most innocuous songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, if you don't do that one, what Maroon 5 song would you do?
Goodbye too many times before.
How many songs do you sing?
I don't sing any.
You don't sing any.
I'm not singing at all.
Okay.
Do you even have a microphone?
I don't have a microphone.
You're just pounding the pagan skins.
So if you come out expecting Preston Elliott being on the radio and everything, you're not going to get that. No, I don't have a mic. I'll eventually maybe get a microphone. But no, these guys, they do 3-part harmonies and all that stuff, and I would just muddle that up. So I'm just playing drums. and focusing on
it. You excited?
Yeah, it should be fun.
Listen, you did this for years.
Hopefully I'll be able to stay awake for the whole show.
Did you pick out an outfit?
Late nighter. That's next.
Okay.
I thought about wearing my Captain America shirt that I wore at Kenan's, but no, I don't think
I did that. One that was made for little boys?
Yeah, that really super-duper tight. Yeah. It's called a compression shirt, Nick.
Oh, okay.
Preston, Jackie Bam has some leggings.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I should have Jackie dress me.
Well, just go to Deb, and you'll be fine.
My fashion consultant.
Yeah.
All kinds of feathers and, you know,
you should.
Animal claws hanging off of me.
Just borrow a blouse from Caroline.
Preston, I'm a little bit disappointed that you don't have a microphone because you know what's better than a 3-part harmony.
What?
A 5-part harmony.
Hey, listen, anytime you want us to come out, sing.
To be honest, though,
we'll be there.
So you're a front man. You're very, obviously, you say he's got a good voice and everything, but you have a charisma. You're used to speaking in public.
I used to actually, I did a lot of the talking for the image on stage, but no, I'm the new dude in the band, so I'm gonna hold back.
No, Dave's the new dude.
No, I'm the newest guy.
I thought you said Dave was.
No, Dave is.
Dave is also new,
Dave,
but he
got. Dave contacted me about being in the band.
Oh,
how could he be the newest when he contacted Preston King?
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
God.
Get off his
Who
back.
Brought that kid?
Yeah. Sorry. What are you talking about?
Me.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
Huh? What are we talking about?
I can fix this.
Rewind it, Steve, please. Okay, let's start all over again. But anyhow, and a lot of friends are coming out, so it should be cool, man.
Wouldn't it be wild if I...
police responded to a riot situation. I buried under broccoli bites.
I thought you were going to say if, like, Clive Davis showed up or something like that, and all of a sudden, we've got to sign these fellas.
You boys got it. Yeah. I don't know. The razzmatazz we need.
Playing all your cover songs.
Who wrote that? So it's like, yeah. Mm. That's a great song. Who wrote that? Maroon 5.
Anyhow, if you'd like to come out, Whip Pain Tavern in Bluebell, and that is tomorrow night.
So, any pyro?
Looking forward to it. No pyro. No.
They planned it themselves.
Thank God. It's not like it used to be when my original band, when I back in, you know, right after high school, because we owned all our own equipment. We owned the PA. We owned all the light riggings. We had a bus, all the stuff. We accumulated it over time because I was with them for a long time. And you have to move all that crap. It is a pain in the ass. And we're talking about thousands of pounds worth of equipment. It takes hours to set up, hours to break down. And so now I just have my little electronic drum kit.
That's Welcome to the inner sanctum. Tonight, lobster dinner $14.95. And the rock is complimentary.
Dude, it is going to be so crowded there tomorrow night. I have a feeling.
I wish I could go. So when's your next gig?
Yes. We are playing somewhere August 2nd. I forgot the name of the venue. Right. It's further out, though. You won't want to go. It's up towards...
I want to travel as far away as...
No, it's up towards, like, Allentown.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then maybe the third gig.
Two of the guys in the band are originally from the Lehigh Valley, and so that we're going to be playing the Lehigh Valley a bit. But, Kathy, we might have something coming up in Bucks County, though.
Oh.
You should play One Center Square in Easton. That's what you should
That's
play.
The one.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
That's the one.
Okay, that's cool.
And how far away is that?
Like I have no idea.
I think that's where we're playing August 2nd. Yeah,
nice.
I've forgotten that. I don't know the names of the venues.
You know, a lot of places are going to want to book your band now.
I hope so.
Yeah,
cool.
What's the place in Bucks County? You don't know?
Is it the Broken Goblet? Is that it?
It's Meth Tooth.
Welcome to the Broken Goblet, formerly Meth Tooth.
No, it's.
Enters your soul with $10 pitchers.
Formerly the meth, too. Marissa, what?
Broken Goblet is a brewery. They're the guys that did that Jason Kelsey beer. It's in Bensalem. They're really cool. It's a really cool spot. They moved.
Yeah, they've got a nice big stage, right?
I've only been at the old one, and they had a smaller stage but had bands, so the new place probably has a huge venue.
Welcome to Miranda Rights.
Jesus Christ.
I
I think that's where we might be playing in September, but I'll run that down. We just start a fan club.
Me and, all my salsa friends will come to that one.
Yes, you should.
Do you have merch?
We'll whip up a number for you, Kathy, if you'll dance.
Do you have merch? I'm serious about that.
There are stickers. I know that. But
we want Saint t-shirts.
I'll work on it. I'll see if we can get that together for you.
Honestly, this is a very...
That's a very cool thing.
Yeah, it's my... Dude, it's my first gig in... 30 years. 30 years, man. So I was looking at my age and when I left the band and everything. I'm like, dude, it's been that long since I've played with a band. So, I mean, I've sat in with bands from time to time, played
a few
songs.
Could you
tell
the band it very loud? I'm trying to eat my cake.
Hang on. I'm going to go to Mike here real quick. Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Presbo.
Yo, buddy, what's up?
Yeah, I used to bounce at the Whitpain Tavern, and the crowds there, I mean, this place is going to be packed.
Awesome.
There's a lot of live bands there.
Okay. All right.
You're going to have a blast.
Nice. All right. Well, I appreciate the heads up, Mike. Thank you.
Not a problem.
All right, buddy. See ya. And what I really have to do is, so I used to be, when I would play, man, I was like, I mastered one hand drumming because I had a beer in the other hand the whole time. And so I'm going to have to hold off on that because I haven't drank and played in a long time, and I have a feeling I'll be forgetting all my parts and all kinds of stuff. So.
Well, you know, it's always the case. That's why the musicians always, the comedians would just come in. Yeah. You know, but the musicians always had to bring it, load and all that stuff, get their hours earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always, you know, ah. Oh.
Yeah, and the thing about being when you're first learning music with a band is you have to remember some songs don't, like, they'll fade out the song that you're covering, so you have to come up with an ending for the song.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. And so this is going to be me tonight. How does this end again? Like, at the end of the song, I have to look at each other and figure out how to end the song.
But you have a cool ear rig now.
In ear monitors. That's why.
You never played with those when you were in the image.
That's why I can do it, because of my hearing issues, I'll be able to control the volume, which is awesome.
What was the most nervous you were before a gig? Can you think of it? Like, I was thinking of that, like, Steel Panther at MMRBQ, because it was such a big audience. And,
oh, yeah.
And those guys are really, I mean, they're funny, but they're awesome musicians on top of it.
It was probably that.
Yeah.
Because it was at the freaking, at the center over there.
25,000 people in
Camden,
the audience.
And it was a huge crowd. I've never played on a stage that big. And I was also playing on a drum kit that I'm not all that familiar with, which is really strange for a drummer. But, I think that was probably it, Nick.
Was that the coolest gig you've ever had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
It's a weird thing, though. You get used to it. I had two situations, one where I had to play in front of Jesuit priests, and I didn't find out until the last minute. And then another one, Preston, when your equipment goes out, you know this, they actually handed me an old-style megaphone.
Shut up.
Oh,
like,
my.
Oh, audio,
no.
And
you can't do
it's
that.
It's like a full theater.
You can't do that. Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh, here's the footage. Yeah, I mean, how cool to be up with Steel Panther.
Yeah, we're looking at the video of me playing with Steel Panther at the center. That was pretty damn cool, man. That was a packed house too. It was a full stadium, or not a stadium, but a shed full of people. So
yeah.
So anyhow,
congratulations,
thank
man.
You,
it's gonna be really cool.
Break a leg, man.
We'll see how it goes. All right, I just wanted to give that a nice big fat plug. We do need to take a break. We're gonna do that very thing. My phone is buzzing like crazy in my pocket, so I need to go check that. We'll come back in a moment or two, and we're getting to the B-file next, aren't we, Case? Do you want me to give away one of these?
Yes. Hi, this is Simon Cowell.
I have a case of beer, Yard Summer Crush, for caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. Easy drinking, a flavorful wheat beer, and juicy citrus finish. Perfect for every summer celebration. You can pick up a case of Summer Crush at Joe Canal's Discount Liquor in Hamilton. 215-263-WMMR, caller 14. You get it? We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Tours.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Let's take another run at some stories from the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin. You know what? This is a story I meant to get to a couple of days ago. It's a sort of follow-up to a story from a while back. A man accused of causing the death of Pinky, a beloved flamingo at Busch Gardens,
yeah,
was hit by a truck and died 2 months before he was going to go on trial. I don't know if you remember this or not.
I do remember
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so the Tampa Bay
Times... I'm sorry that it was hit by a truck.
...is reporting that the Florida...
Smaller car would have been just as...
Florida Highway Patrol says 48-year-old Joseph Correo was killed June 5th as he crossed a busy road in Orlando. Correo was accused of grabbing the Chilean flamingo from a pen and slamming it to the ground while visiting the Tampa theme park with his mother and daughters. The severely injured flamingo had to be euthanized. Correo had told police he was trying to show off to his daughter and didn't mean to harm Pinky.
Aww.
Yeah, let me slam this. Here, this will impress my daughter.
It's the best way to impress my little sweetheart. Let me murder a large bird in front of you.
Yeah. He spent 5 days in jail on a felony charge of animal cruelty, and now he's dead.
Now I'm going to go slit a monkey's throat. Is everyone having a good time? In a little bit, we get churros, okay? Yeah. Just pick out what animal you'd like to see me murder.
A quick detour around heavy traffic in Colorado turned into a nightmare for dozens of drivers who ended up stuck in the mud. A car accident brought cars to a standstill on the main road that leads to Denver International Airport. And as drivers were sitting in the traffic, their GPS applications suggested an alternate route around the backup that would cut their travel time in half. So there was a woman, here's one of the people, Connie Monses, said that Google Maps asked it to take the tower exit, so I did because it was supposed to be half the time. It was 47 minutes from Tower Road to the terminal, so I went the detour, which is supposed to be 23 minutes. Seems like it makes sense.
Yes, you're following the advice. It's usually pretty accurate.
As she was driving, the paved road turned into a dirt road. She was a little skeptical but saw other cars in front of her, so she continued following her GPS. As she continued down the street, the conditions deteriorated due to recent storms. The muddy road was too much for some cars, causing them to get stuck. And to make matters worse, the dirt road was only wide enough for one car, making it impossible for drivers to turn around.
I saw a picture of this nightmare.
Monsi's vehicle had all-wheel drive, and she was able to navigate the narrow road, which was filled with ditches, by the way, that caused damage to other cars trying to get through. She said, I tore up the inside passenger wheel well for my tire, but it's not that big of a deal compared to some of the other who really tore up their cars and got themselves stuck out there. Around 100 cars ended up getting stuck on the dirt road, which is privately owned and maintained, and it must have taken them forever to get those out of there.
Have you ever had a GPS incident like that or a Waze incident like that?
I've never had one steer me down a non-existent road or anything like that, but it does happen from time to time.
You get glitches now and then.
Yeah. I think Waze is pretty good.
Right.
And that's what I use. I think the other ones might still have some little glitches in them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're the ones who perfected it, so I stick with that. A vicar. Now, a vicar is a church member, or not a member, but a reverend. Are they technically a priest?
Well, I mean, in the Catholic churches, they're the ones. It's kind of like a touring priest. They'll stay with the parish for a couple of years, and then they move on to another parish.
This Saturday evening, on tour, vicars. Opening for them will be Saint.
Now, a saint outranks a vicar,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, thank you. I wanted to be clear on that. So, well, a vicar could face prison after he was found guilty of groping a sleeping passenger during a British Airways flight.
Bad vicar!
Reverend Peter McConnell sexually assaulted an American PhD student after making sleazy comments about sex acts during the trip from Philadelphia to London.
Mm-hmm.
The 64-year-old clergyman drank up to 10 small bottles of wine and asked the victim if it had ever been into any booby bars. And he then spoke about God and asked his victim for forgiveness after the sexual assault. Today, a jury found him guilty of sexual assault after 4 hours of deliberation in Newcastle Crown Court. The vicar, who had been in America to visit his sister, had denied the charges and claimed that he talked about mindfulness, not a sex act. And he said that, according to the prosecutor, the former police chaplain had left his post with the force in 2014. He now has to sign on as a sex offender. When the student began to, they were talking initially, and the student began to tire. McConnell covered him with a blanket, which the victim initially thought was kind. The vicar then assaulted him after he fell asleep. He said as he was drifting off to sleep, he felt Mr. McConnell's hand under the blanket on his right knee. He said he must have fallen deeper asleep because he recalls jolting awake. When he did, he looked down and he could see McConnell's hand stopped had stopped groping his knee and moved to his groin area, moving side to side over the top of his pants. For the purposes
of the court, we'll refer to it as his nutsack.
The student said that he was shocked and disgusted and disturbed after he was touched under the blanket. He said he kept trying to talk to me, wanting to apologize. He wanted to shake my hand.
No, it's not down there.
He started blaming the alcohol, saying he was drunk, trying to get me to forgive him. And I said no.
What a mess.
Said he kept trying to shake my hand. He twice tried to hug me. I pulled away. And then he tried to kiss the hair above my ear, which was very disturbing.
What?
I know. Yeah. The student said McConnell...
I can make this better by kissing his ear.
McConnell then started to deny that he had touched him. He then reported what had happened to the airline, and they ended up calling the police and the Church of England.
I wouldn't even be happy with someone putting a blanket over me.
Yeah, I know. It'd be a little odd. And that is the Bizarre File. We're going to take a break. We will return in a moment. When we get back, we'll see if you've been paying attention, because we will have a lesson question about the show and a prize to give away with it. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to move on to today's lesson question. And like always, I didn't look at them.
Things to do.
I always forget to look at them. And so I'm going to glance at these while I tell you that we are going to give away a pair of tickets to Rediscover the Magic of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire in concert at the Man's TD Pavilion. And that will be on July 20th. Let's see here. How about we go with this? When promoting The Sun, Pierce Brosnan liked talking about Zeitgeist and Schadenfreude and Farfignugan and which two beverages? 215-263-WMMY. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
It was very quick and it was kind of quiet. But we played a clip from Pierce Brosnan talking about The Sun, and he talked about Zeitgeist and Schadenfreude and Farfignugan and what two beverages? 215-263-WMMR. Well, let's see if you can get it close enough. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought this morning by Godshall's Cookout and Eat Lighter with Godshall's Real Meat, Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. 80% less fat than pork bacon and all the rich smoky flavor. Discover hundreds of recipes at Godshall's.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Ghost Adventures host and paranormal investigator Zach Baggins is dating former Hugh Hefner girlfriend Holly Madison. Baggins says Madison is a perfect match for him because she spent so much time effing a corpse.
Oh, wow.
Dude.
Yes.
That's dumb, man.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Disick has acknowledged he sees a future with girlfriend Sophia Richie, but says he wants his ex Kourtney Kardashian to also find love before he pops the question. Disick says it's really, really important to him that he have a reason not to get married. And finally, according to Gwyneth Paltrow, she and her new husband, Brad Falchuk, live in separate homes because it was recommended to them by their, quote, intimacy coach. Paltrow says her intimacy coach is very strict and often runs butt sex drills.
Wow.
That's your Hollywood track.
Intimacy coach
is the one, you know, you live apart. Gwyneth Paltrow and Brad Falchuk.
Yeah.
And so they go to an intimacy coach who advises them on
how to be intimate.
I would assume that's the case.
So this isn't like, couples therapy. This
makes conscious uncoupling seem okay.
That's a sex coach is what that is. Okay, interesting. Right. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the lesson question. When promoting The Sun, Pierce Brosnan talked about Zeitgeist and Schadenfreude and Farfignugen and what two beverages? That's the question I'm going to ask Jared right now. Hey, Jared.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, what two beverages was Pierce Brosnan talking about?
That'd be Sunny D and the Purple Star.
Yeah! You got it! Jared was playing, paying close attention, so hang on, Jared. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you a pair of tickets. Rediscover the magic of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire in concert at the Man's TD Pavilion, July 20th. Philadelphia Orchestra performs Patrick Doyle's unforgettable score live as the enchanting Harry Potter series plays on the big screen in high definition. Picnics welcome at this all-ages event. The series Movies at the Man is presented by BMW. For tickets, visit themancenter.org. Kathy, how long is that cough going to be going on?
It's been over a week for sure.
It's been like 2 weeks.
Oh, it's been, yeah. No, I think it's been closer to a month.
Wow, mm-hmm. Man. And are you taking anything for it?
I mean, I went through everything.
Yeah.
But Dr. Mike said that the people who are getting it, it's lasting like some
it
people
just
have
lingers.
Had it. Some people have had it for like 2 or 3 months.
You're not an anomaly. I know a couple people, and it holds on for a long time, and it drives you slowly insane.
Is
it a cold or what?
It's all sinus.
Even know what it is?
It's all sinus related, and it's Dr. Mike STD. Doesn't want me to go through probably what you went through and all that.
You got to use the Neomed.
Yeah, which I do.
Yeah.
I use it. I do like it, and it does work for me, but not
sometimes. You know what I had? These little suckers are actually very good. I picked them up over in England.
What is that thing?
This is basically like the Neomed, but it's a saline spray.
You shoot that up your nose?
Yeah, shoot it up your nose.
And so it looks like it's
if
aerosol-powered or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's pressurized.
Yeah.
Sterimar, hay fever, and allergies, 100% natural.
And you got that in England?
I ordered. They have it here as well, but the first time I ever saw it was in England when we were doing the broadcast.
Yeah.
I started to feel something coming on.
Okay.
I went in to get a Neomed, the spray bottle and the saline packets and everything. They didn't have that because I think this might be like it.
Went into a Tesco.
Wow. You guys should do what I do. Just pick your nose constantly.
Okay.
And then
and eat it.
Yeah, I've seen
don't
it.
Don't eat it. Never eaten it.
Okay.
Don't start that.
See it all the time. Real quick, if you don't mind, can I do a shout out?
Yeah.
I got this random letter, and inside of it was a baseball card, and it's a baseball card of John Hamm, the actor, in a St. Louis Cardinals uniform throwing out the first pitch.
That's cool.
And it's in a little plastic, protective sleeve here. And it came with a little handwritten note. It says, "Dear Preston, I thought that you would like this, knowing that you are from St. Louis and are a John Hamm fan. All I want in return for the card is a shout out on the air."
Aww.
And that is from Nick Lucas. So, Nick, let's give you a shout out. And thank you. I didn't know they made these little first pitch baseball cards. And it's a Topps card, too.
That's
so
cool.
That was nice. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that.
Topps still based in Pennsylvania. They were here for a very long time, and their headquarters were not that far. My dad, actually, believe it or not, used to sell term life insurance to the Topps company. It was one of his biggest accounts, and we would get sets of baseball cards every year. It was my favorite account that my dad ever had. But they were local, so I don't know if their factory is still here. I don't know if they still make them in our area.
God, as a kid, I remember you get that packet. You'd open it up fresh. There'd be the powder from the gum. Of course, they're all sealed in anthrax or whatever it was. But it had a particular smell that was awesome. And we would do it was Flip Your Five Larry. That's what we called it.
Okay.
Where, you know, it was
it's almost like playing war or something
with
that. With
the color of
the cards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. And it was our gambling. But it was Flip Your Five Larry.
Yeah.
Do you think if you opened up a pack of cards that is from, I don't know, 1985, that the gum would still be edible?
That gum, I'm sure, is like the cockroach of candy.
Yep.
It survives everything.
I don't think it was edible in 1985, to be honest with you.
It was pretty lame gum.
It was aluminum siding dipped in sugar.
It was pretty lame gum, but you ate it. No,
didn't matter.
Anyway.
It's like the Big Chew, the Big League that mimics chewing tobacco.
Hey, but that was good, though.
That was good.
It was soft. It smelled really yummy. But Nick, Topps, what was the competing company that had cards?
Donruss, Fleer, and Upper Deck.
Fleer is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Upper Decker.
Upper Deckers?
Upper Decker.
No, Upper Deck came out in like the late 80s, early 90s, and they were the ones that, because Topps was, you know, pretty generic and they hadn't really updated their design or the quality of the card since the 50s or early 60s.
Right.
I was huge into baseball cards when I was a kid, and that's why I stood in line to get Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden's autograph.
I was by a place that was actually by Ikebucci, Casey. It's a the tuxedo place. It is a sports memorabilia.
Oh, dude, they have people signing autographs there all the time.
Nick, they were advertising in the window, Dwight Gooden.
Are you serious?
Yes, I swear to God.
Wow.
I wonder if he still costs $8, because that's what I paid at the George Washington Lodge. But, yeah, so the Upper Deck sort of started to make these quality cards, and then Topps and Donruss and Fleer all had to respond in kind.
But okay. Topps always kept their position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have a whole suitcase full of old cards, and I just thought they'd be worth something. I just thought because they were old, they'd be worth something. Yeah. I didn't realize it's really important who it is.
Yeah. Is it wild that it turned out that the other ones, the suitcase ended up being worth
something? Yeah. It was probably worth more. I ended up just chucking them eventually.
I have so many. I don't know why they're not in the trash right now, but what I had from my childhood are now in my son's desk drawer, and I've gone through all of them. Dude, you know what actually were worth more than any of my actual
baseball cards?
Baseball, football what? Cards. They were playing cards from Rocky IV, the movie.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And they actually have worth for some reason.
They would issue movie cards, mm-hmm. but was that Topps that did that as well?
These were playing cards, you said.
No.
Oh, they weren't? Sorry. I thought you said they were playing cards.
I might have said playing cards, but I meant like collecting cards.
You can play with them and collect them. They're currently worth absolutely nothing.
I do remember movie cards coming out from time to time.
Yeah. You used to be able to buy the entire the year's all the teams with it. Remember, they had the team picture cards as well, and you could buy those en masse.
Yep.
That was always the holy grail.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for the card. That was nice of you. All right, we're gonna do music news. So let's get to it
now. Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Nubbits. We're going to start with this story we had earlier this morning from TMZ. Former Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler has reportedly been hospitalized after stabbing himself. It was paramedics were called to his house around 6:30 yesterday. He was transported to a local hospital where he's being treated for a stab wound to his stomach. The injury is not believed to be life-threatening. The circumstances are unclear, but the wound appears to be self-inflicted. I'm hoping it was an accident of some sort.
Yes.
He fell on a knife or something like that.
As am I. Now, there is this possibility, and I wasn't aware of it until I read this book, the book Crash and Burn, Artie Lang's book.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people are addicts,
right,
they will attempt to make themselves lightheaded by bleeding themselves out a little bit.
Hmm. He's been
not saying that's the case, and I hope it was an accident.
Yeah. I don't know what his current relationship with drugs and alcohol are. I know he was, he had gotten sober.
He had a stroke because of his addiction.
Yeah. So we'll see. And he's a very likable guy. It's a developing story, so hopefully we'll have more on that in the near future. Disturbed has released a music video for its new single, No More, and the clip was directed by Matt Maron, who helmed the video for the band's Grammy-nominated rendition of Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence. In addition to directing that clip, which has amassed over 535 million YouTube views to date, Maron also directed a video for the band's number one hit, A Reason to Fight. In addition, Disturbed is also releasing a new 5-song EP titled Live from Alexandra Place, London, which comes out today. The EP, which features a concert version of No More, was recorded this past May at the famed UK venue. The digital-only release also contains live versions of A Reason to Fight, Inside the Fire, 10,000 Fists, and The Game.
I mean, could you ever have anticipated that their cover of Sound of Silence would be...
No. No.
It's crazy.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But people enjoyed it, so they kind of flocked to it. Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne have slammed Donald Trump for his unauthorized use of Ozzy's classic song Crazy Train in a Twitter video mocking the 2020 Democratic primary candidates. The video, which Trump posted yesterday, includes doctored footage of the technical difficulties that marred Wednesday's first Democratic primary, combined with the Ozzy song, dry ice effects, and Trump ambling onto the debate stage. The doctored footage begins just after moderator Chuck Todd asks a question about the Parkland, Florida school shooting. In a statement posted on social media, Sharon wrote, based on this morning's unauthorized use of Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train, we're sending notice to the Trump campaign or any other campaigns that they are forbidden from using any of Ozzy Osbourne's music in political ads or in any political campaigns.
And yet it still happens, over the place.
Ozzy's music cannot be used for any means without approvals. She added, in the meantime, I have a suggestion for Mr. Trump. Perhaps you could reach out to some of his, or he could reach out to some of his musician friends. Maybe Kanye West, Kid Rock, or Ted Nugent will allow some of their music. Sharon got to know Trump when she worked with him on Celebrity Apprentice. So they're asking him not to do that anymore, but he keeps doing it. Korn frontman Jonathan Davis spoke to Kerrang! Magazine about the band's new album, The Nothing, which will arrive on September 13th. Davis said about the band's 13th studio LP, he said it's a record I'm really, really, really proud of. I worked really hard on it. The rest of the members worked hard and really did a great job. It's a very dark record, he says. Davis, by the way.
You have entered the Hall of Korn, where all things dark exist. But to enter into the inner sanctum, you must emit the Korn sound known only to a few. Do you know this sound?
Davis, by the way.
I love it.
We've turned it into a dark rock opera.
We have.
Like Van Helsing.
Davis, whose estranged wife Devin died last August, said that the album reflected the events in his life, explaining it's basically me dealing with all the stuff that happened to me last year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he said very emotional for me. But it is what it is. I can't wait for people to hear it. I really spent a long time on doing what I wanted to do this time. While he shied away from calling The Nothing a concept album, Davis did say that making the album was both difficult and therapeutic. He remarked it sucked. I'm not going to say it didn't. It was just really hard. But that's how I've always dealt with all of my problems, just throwing my heart and soul into my art. So that will be coming out on September 13th. And that is all I have for you in music news today. But speaking of music news and musicians and heavy music and all that stuff, there is a new Daily Rush video out, and it's called 5 Years of Slayer! Description is, whenever it's Tom Araya's birthday, we gotta scream. So it's a look back at some of the years past of us screaming about his birthday. And if you want to watch that, it's available at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. We have one more break to take. We will do that now. When we come back, we're going to give away that Word of the Week prize. I hope you win it. Good luck to you.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
But today has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed today's program. Actually, the whole week has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So thank you if you joined us this week. I want to thank our guests who are on the show today. Brad Williams.
Hey!
Freaking funny.
Brad is going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, 7:30 and 10. One of his shows tomorrow is sold out. That's the Erlewin, so only 10 o'clock on Saturday. To catch him at Helium. He loves coming to Philadelphia.
He loves doing the show. He was talking about it in the green room, and he was talking about doing like long form radio, and he doesn't have to come on and do bits. And he can just have conversations. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. Norton said the same thing. Yeah.
Did he really?
About playing bits and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's something we always like to talk.
Yeah. So thank you to Jim Norton for being on the show this morning, too. He'll be at the Borgata. And that is July 5th, 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale at theborgata.com. So that's all that I have in the thank you department. And now we open the door to the studio. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pierre Robert.
Oh, my God, he's here.
He is here. He is ready to make all your dreams come true via this wonderful instrument we call radio.
I think that music should play every time I enter a room.
Okay, we can arrange that.
Even the bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom would be great.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Because there'd be a nice echo.
Yep.
In any bathroom. I have long been a proponent of pumping some sort of Muzak into the bathroom to hide the horrifying sounds.
One time we tried to have a guy with an amp and electric guitar in there.
They kicked us out.
And they kicked us out.
Really?
We were going to supply music for the morning for people in the bathroom. the studio was going to rock out in the bathroom all morning long. But at the time, the management of the building didn't
hated our guts.
Was that here?
Yeah, it was here. Yeah,
because these friends of mine were doing a little short film and they wanted me to play a guru that they met in a bathroom. And so we picked an odd floor where I thought it would be kind of quiet, and you know it was going to take 20 minutes. And a couple of people came in, and all of a sudden security was there, and then John Fulham came, and he goes, "What's going on here?" And I go, "Well, it's clearly a terrorist attack, because the same reason we have locks on our bathroom." One Bala Plaza, this sleepy little ugly suburban building, I mean pathetic looking building. It has locks on the bathroom as if Al-Qaeda is going to attack. Bala Plaza. We've got to have locks on the bathroom.
My son was here this week, and he's like, what's the story with this? You know, we don't know.
1111. Yeah. That's the code for the men's room.
Done it.
The secret.
I don't know what the girls' room is. What's the girls' room?
1110.
Oh, I can't believe you did that.
I didn't want you to get in trouble, so I did it.
So sorry.
Took the bullet for you.
I guess that's what you call a spoiler.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Oh, my stars and garters. We should do the letter of the day. Ready?
Yeah.
Say it. All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, right. The Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by The Letter.
I was thinking of Snagglepuss. Remember that character?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Letter is O, as in, oh no.
All right, and you ought to have a word by now. We'll take caller number 5 at 215-263-WMMR. You get to give us the word and maybe win a prize. We'll see about that in just a little bit. How's your day going so far today, sir?
Peachy keen.
Wonderful. I got some good stuff planned for today.
I do. Thank you. I will have more tickets for the Struts and Glorious Sons coming to the Mount Airy Casino, and all the winners are eligible for a hotel room for the evening. That's going to be later in July. We've got cool workforce blocks, including Dire Straits. They've got a swimming pool song that I think we must put in called Twistin' by the Pool.
Love that song.
It's just a great song. And also we'll get to Shinedown and a block of David Bowie. And it's Friday, so good vibes and good energy will abound. Vinyl Cut, and then Sarah's filling in for Jackson, which is always fun. And then Bam Bam is, if anyone has not heard, for some reason, the all-request Friday night show, I can't recommend it highly enough.
It's a party.
It is a party. The first 20 minutes alone. I forgot the transition. Steve and I were talking about it at the blood drive. But, I mean, what you'll hear in the first, right out of the box, at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, boom. You'll go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
You'll go from a five-finger death punch to Burl Ives.
Exactly.
It's literally, it's the kind of radio that you don't hear a lot these days. And it's really cool. Plus, what's happening is you're getting a ton of interactivity from listeners. And you're basically programming the show.
Yeah, it's great fun to listen to with perhaps the greatest host to do it and the kind of radio that this station, you know, evolved out of. So,
he's the best.
Yeah, I heard one night Slayer and Willie Nelson side by side.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going, holy F. That is amazingly, beautifully, magnificently wonderful.
Yep, he makes it work, and he puts all kinds of little flourishes in between the songs, and it's just great. So
you said flourishes.
I know.
Flourishes.
He loves
it's a great word.
Yeah.
Telling.
What's that?
He's
You're
got
telling?
A, no, he's got a commercial for those people and whatever it is.
Yeah. Do you like those people?
Yeah, if you like those people.
I like them too. You should go there. And you, those people located on 420.
And whatever it is, you can get free towing. He says
towing.
He's probably
Meineke.
Oh yeah.
So, but beautifully spoken. I think he is the Shakespeare of
drop cheese.
Yes.
All right, I'll go to the phones because I don't know what else to do. I'm going to go to Dan and see if we can get our winner. Hey, Dan, how you doing, buddy?
He's a flaming turd.
Yes.
Whoa.
Pierre concurs. All right, Dan, what's the word of the week, man?
The word you are looking for is mango.
Great day in the morning.
Mango is right, Dan. You are good to go, man. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to sit ringside at a WWE event. I have before. It's pretty damn amazing. We're going to give you 4 ringside seats for WWE Extreme Rules Sunday, July 14th at the Wells Fargo Center. All right, pal?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Thanks so much. My wife and I are standing next to me. We're high-fiving each other, you know what I mean?
Very nice. I can hear her in the background. That's
What's
awesome.
Her name?
What's her name?
Her name is Sandy.
All right.
Sandy? That's awesome. To wrestling.
I hope you and Sandy have a great time,
Sandy.
Dan. Hang on the line. You're welcome, Sandy, sweetheart. Thank you. We'll get your information, and we'll take care of you guys. Don't forget that you can see Kofi Kingston, Kevin Owens, and Dolph Ziggler in a WWE Championship Triple Threat match. Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin in a WWE Universal Championship table match, and many more of your favorite Raw and SmackDown Live superstars. Tickets start at just $25 at Wells Fargo Center, Philly.com. So get them now. Yes, Casey.
Hey, I just wanted to send a butt plug shout out and a thank you to my friends over at Wilson Secret Sauce. It's a great, great barbecue place on Township Line Road in the, I guess, the Upper Darby area.
All right.
They have helped out Team WMMR, the Rock and Rollers, with the Bend to the Shore bike tour. And tomorrow, every Saturday, they donate $1 of any sandwich sold to various different charities. And tomorrow, every dollar or every sandwich sold, $1 will go to Team WMMR Rock and Rollers. So
cool.
Please go. Their food is delicious. Go
yes,
there
I know
tomorrow.
For a fact. It's excellent.
Get a Sammy.
Cool.
Yeah. One question. if I know it's time to close, but if I were looking for something to do tomorrow night and I wanted to have fun and go to a smaller tavern
sure.
and maybe take in a band that would not just do one set but 2 sets, no, maybe 3 sets. Preston, anything you'd recommend?
Yeah, Fish is playing over. three shows.
No, that's... That's one set, 3 songs.
One yeah. set for man.
You'll probably be out as long as that.
My band Saint yeah! is going to be performing at the
Cuckoo Ka-Choo
Whit Payne Tavern in Bluebell. It is the first band gig I've played in 30 years. So while I want you to come... Don't set your expectations way too high. We're still figuring this all out, but it should be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time. So thank you, Pierre, for mentioning that. I appreciate it. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you by Dunkin',
yeah.
The official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And Jeff D'Ambrosio's 4th of July sales event. Save up to $16,000 on new Ram trucks. Open July 4th. Next week on a program, this should be pretty cool. We mentioned him earlier this morning. Billy Bob Thornton will be getting in touch with us. So
oh, that's cool.
We'll chat with him, and I'm sure we're lining up some other things for next week as well. Hey, rage on. Have a great weekend, and we'll do it again next week. Pierre's up next. Bye-bye, gang.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Yeah, man, I work at a quarry down in South Jersey. You do not swim in these lakes, man. Feel the f***ing ground, you idiot.
Next message.
Can we just acknowledge what a stud Gabe Kapler is? Holy s***.
Next message.
90 degrees? 90 f***ing degrees? Jesus, you want me to come out of the AC? Stop f***ing leaving.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.